Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.
And welcome into another episode of the Gorilla Position. It's Thursday night, and you know what that means, to coin a phrase. I am Steve. They call me the Fish Sticks General Manager, or whatever the ghost calls me in the open. So I guess that's true, but I got a funny story about another nickname tonight. Also on this program tonight is the one and only professor of all things wrestling. That is the Swink, Nick Swinky. How are you, Nick?
I'm doing all right, Steve. How about you?
Oh, my God. I couldn't be better if there were two of me, and that is a sizable situation. Tonight, we also have in studio with us, I guess you could say, spinning the dials and doing all the heavy lifting, our good friend Marty Drip Drip, that is producer and proprietor of Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash, Mr. Martez Ale. How are you, Martez?
I'm doing pretty good, Pretty spiked up for this show tonight.
I'm glad to hear that. Conspicuously absent tonight is the Macho Ghost. And I always wondered what this show would be like without him, because I feel when he's not here, a lot of the heart that this show has is not here with us. He certainly adds an amount of levity. Nobody cares about the super fans more than he does. And, you know, he actually makes our show fairly distinctive. There's nothing else out there like it. But tonight, the ghost is absent from the panel. Our good friend, Charlie, good friend of mine, good friend of the ghost, good friend of the swing, lost a family member. Therefore, the ghost is going to console him and be with him this evening. So we dedicate this show to... our good friend Charlie, and we're glad that the ghost has taken the night off to help him heal. Anytime you lose somebody that's like family to you, it's a rough spell. Now, this is not a human family member. This is, of course, a animal family member. But sometimes those deaths, especially when you know you relate to animals, sometimes even better than you do to people, it hurts just as bad, if not worse. So RIP to our show mascot Tweety. We hope that you're enjoying things up there with the ghost in the big bird cage in the sky. Boys, tonight's show is for the ghost and for Charlie. How do we feel about this?
To lose a loved one, you know, like you said, no matter if they're human or if they're a pet, sometimes people consider pets to be even more family than their actual family. You know, I have friends that have like five cats and a dog, and that is basically their children. So if anything were to happen to them, they would, you know, have the same kind of reaction, you know, like losing a family member. So, yeah, it's always unfortunate when something like this happens. And, you know, my heart goes out to Charlie. And this one is for the memory of Tweety tonight.
Well, yeah.
Mark, has anything to add?
Yes, I do. It's never easy losing somebody that you're close with. And my thoughts and prayers go out to the Macho Ghost because I know this was a huge loss for him. And like the Swing said, like you said, it's not easy losing someone. So once again, my thoughts and prayers go out to you, Macho Ghost.
Yes, that's, you know, like I said, all of our thoughts and prayers. Hopefully the healing is swift and he'll be back with us in studio doing what he loves to do. Very soon. But, you know, like when I miss the show, like when the Swink misses the show, even when Martez misses the show, we must go on. So we are not going to not do the show. We're going to do the best we can as a threesome. And Martez, at some point, we might get a call for a special guest host tonight that might take us part of the way. Has he shown up yet, or are we still awaiting his call?
Not yet. He hasn't showed up yet.
All right. Let me know when that happens. But we got a great show. You know, we're going to make the best of this, and we're going to have some fun. Martez tells me that Swink's Lex Luthor to his Superman will be calling us at 7:30, throwing some kryptonite questions maybe. Mike Stover will be joining the program in about 24 minutes. Swink, how do you feel about that?
Well, you know, Mike Stover is my rival, if you will. I've never had a rival, I guess, before in my life. And so there's a first time for everything, as they say. So I guess Stover Load is my rival, Mike Stover, if you will. And, you know, he's going to have his work cut out for him, though, in the first round of that TGPW title tournament, I tell you what, though.
We are going to go over that bracketology again at a bit more length tonight because the matchups are absolutely spellbinding, whether it's a video game or not. Some of the matchups in this tournament are absurd. Some of the matchups in this tournament are glorious. Some of them are as fictitious as fiction can get, but it's like a gigantic meatloaf. Every little thing from wrestling, all corners, is rolled up in this thing, and it's simmering in the mind of the Swink. So we'll give a little bit of love to that tournament tonight. We'll talk about the usual things. You know, we watched Dynamite last night. Regrettably, in some ways, we watched Fastlane and then the ensuing Raw. Plus, the Swink has got some New Japan and a couple of other promotions to talk about. So, Swink, you know, the floor is yours until Stover joins us. We know Turtle is listening out there somewhere, and he will chime in, might even steal away a few minutes and call from his shoot job. So it's always great to hear from the Almighty Turtle. I am calling him the Almighty Turtle because he is in Midwest Independent Wrestling's Bobby Lashley.
Well, we know Martez loves him some Bobby Lashley, so.
You know, Swink, before I let you before I let you spread out and paint the room with all of your knowledge, I want to ask Martez, Marty Drip Drip, you cannot be happy. I mean, I know your boy has got the title, and they've made Lashley look pretty damn cool. MVP talking up the storm, Lashley fighting physically, as long as he doesn't open his mouth. You know, he's looking very Lesnar-esque, finally getting his due as heavyweight champion. But the rest of the Hurt Business, my God, has things gone awry. And now, as we're watching, what we were talking about is one of the great things about WWE, if that exists, are splintering apart. What the hell?
Yeah, I'm not going to try to fix my words here. I'm pissed off, you know, and I usually don't get mad. I'm being legitimate. I'm serious. I'm really frustrated because, and I usually give them a pass. I do all the time. But don't mess with my Hurt Business. Really, don't mess with my Hurt Business. I'm actually taking this hard. I don't know why I'm taking this hard. I love the Hurt Business. Like, they're the Beatles to me. Seriously, they're the Beatles to me. They're the Chicago
wow.
Bulls. They're the 1997 Chicago Bulls to me. Seriously.
Wow.
You know, I'm even trying to get my body in shape like Bobby Lashley. That's how much I'm a fandom of these guys. I do not believe in idol worshiping, but I really look up to these guys. And why would you destroy them? Why would you break them up right now? They're hot right now. And why would you give Lashley that belt only to take it away from him at WrestleMania? It's just plain old silly and it's stupid. And I'm mad about this. You know, I'm mad. I don't even know what else to say, but I don't want to cry. And I haven't been commenting. I haven't been talking to you guys throughout the week in a group chat because I don't know what you guys been talking about. But I'm sure you guys been roasting WWE about the Hurt Business. I'm sure you guys been doing that. That's how frustrated I am. I don't want to talk about WWE, and I don't want to talk about this whole Hurt Business situation because I am pissed.
Wow, there's a lot to unpack with what was just said here by our friend Martez Ale. I'm not even going to call him Marty Driftrip anymore tonight, Martez. Busting out of his shell and keeping it on the real. Swink, there's a lot going on with what that man's got, Craw. The Bulls and the Beatles, for God's sake. What are your thoughts on those statements?
That's a rather bold statement to make about the Hurt Business, but you know,
I'm trying to figure out which one's John and which one's Paul, to be honest with you right now. That's what's going through my mind.
I can assure you, though, we haven't been talking about the Hurt Business at all in the chat this week. So you don't have to worry about that because I very rarely talk about WWE other than being on this show, unless there's some kind of news that pertains to the WWE that is important enough that I have to discuss with the group. But I don't really talk about storylines, matches, angles, any of that kind of stuff usually. So I am aware, though, that they did lose the tag team titles on Raw to the New Day, and we know it's going to be AJ and Omos versus New Day at WrestleMania. And I do not watch Raw or SmackDown, so I don't know what's going on with the story there. But according to what Steve is saying, it's looking like they're trying to break the group up. When a few weeks ago it was a united front, and now all of a sudden they want to split the group up, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But, you know. Go ahead.
You can't defend this. I don't know how Steve feel about it, but you can't defend this. It's just stupid and it's crazy.
It's curious. You know, the WWE, despite all the grief we give them, despite all the things we say we don't like, despite all of the negative things we say about some of the superstars, I mean, they're still superstars, and they're still fantastic talent. And the people that are providing us WWE entertainment, although we're not appreciating it right now, I mean, they are somewhat responsible for what wrestling has become in our lives. So when I rip on Nia Jax and when I rip on those who I don't like and I rip on, it's more from a fan perspective, really, because that's what we're supposed to do. You know, we like our faces, we don't like our heels, and we get to have engaging conversation about it. And the WWE, despite some stale storylines and some missteps most of the time, they've tried to right a lot of their wrongs that they have been criticized for. And one of the main things they've been criticized for is not enough African-American champions. And when you have the Hurt Business together as one unit with the heavyweight title and the tag titles, I mean, you are righting wrongs that you've been told you've been doing. They know what's important. They just have a really, really bad way of representing it once they have something. And the fact that they have Shelton and Cedric out there doing Jey Uso stick, inadvertently costing Lashley opportunities and undermining Lashley's matches, it really doesn't make any sense because they're all in suits. You know, they're very, when they came out, they're very horseman-esque, dressed to the nines, class, elegant champions. And now Lashley looks better than he ever has anywhere he's been right now. The almighty era is actually, I hate to admit it, but entertaining in a way. And, you know, you're going to kill that when you let Drew go over at WrestleMania, which is a darn shame, because right now, yep, Bobby Lashley is actually entertaining and doing well and thriving in this particular character. So I hope they find a way to get the title back on him soon. And as far as Shelton and Cedric, I mean, unless they're expiring contracts that they don't intend on renewing, this whole story angle is nonsensical to me.
Yeah.
Frank, what do you know about contracts?
Oh, you want me to go?
I'm just curious. Could that be what it is? Because even for the WWE, this is sloppy.
I know nothing about their contract status. It's not something I have looked into or anything. It's not like, oh, I wonder when Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander's contracts are up.
I thought you knew everything. That's why I just assumed you knew.
It's not something that I'm looking up, so I don't know. And honestly, I am not too interested in whatever it is that they do with them. But, you know, as far as Nia Jax goes, speak for yourself. She's a terrible wrestler.
She is. I mean, I find fault in everything she does. And she's just not entertaining. And their latest storyline with her and what's the flippy guy's name? I can't think of it off the top of my head. Clarence or something
Reginald.
Or other.
Reginald.
Yeah. So I don't know what that whole thing's about. I haven't understood that since day one. Good old Reggie. Wine steward to Carmella. booty call to Sasha, whatever he is now to Nia. I mean, that's the sugar daddy. He's getting all sorts of nice clothes and swag. I just don't get it at all. I mean, if you're going to introduce this guy as some kind of high-flying super athlete, this is about the dumbest way to bring somebody into a company that I have ever seen.
Well, it's WWE. What do you expect?
Like, for the first time ever, I realized that they don't know what they're doing. And I hate to say that, but for the first time ever, I don't think they know what they're doing down there. I just don't.
And that's interesting because Swink was just lamenting about the NXT brand today, saying some very interesting thoughts about the mishandling of that promotion. Swink, I'd like to, since we're kind of in WWE, you know, let's just get it all out of the way and then move on. You were very damning of the way NXT has gone, talking about DX running a show into the ground, since it's become a third part of the brand and not the minor leagues to get to the major leagues, the product has changed. Can you expound on that?
Yeah, so what I was talking about is I was listening to another podcast where they were doing a deep dive on, you know, the start of the WWE Network and with it the addition of NXT to the network, because that was kind of like one of the selling points for the network was that you could watch NXT. And, you know, he went back and reviewed the shows from like 2014, 2015, the takeover events from those years. And, you know, you listen to that, you know, deep dive that I was listening to, you listen to, you know, just some of the stuff on there and how it just reminds you of how different NXT is now and how it's changed since about 2019. right around the time that they announced that they were going to the USA Network. They were moving off the network and the WWE Network and going to the USA Network live every Wednesday. Because before, if you remember, NXT was a pre-taped show that would air on Wednesdays on the WWE Network exclusively. And now it has become a live show on Wednesdays on USA. And, you know, since then, we've seen a lot of changes to the overall show. And it's something that I talked about on my previous show, that wrestling show, when this was going on at first. I said, there's something off about NXT. It's not the same that it used to be. And I have a feeling that things are only going to get worse. And, you know, I was right. Things have, you know, it's not the same show that it once was. It's and NXT used to be what I would call a finishing school for a lot of guys. Like,
that's the word you, that's what I got when you were talking about it today. You know, it's like Triple A in baseball. You know, the D League in NBA, it's the place where the people that are getting ready to transition, you know, to become superstars on Raw and SmackDown, go to get that final polish.
Right. Like independent stars coming in. They come in, they get acclimated to working the WWE house style, if you will, because, you know, they have particular things that they like to do that they don't like to do, like do not slap leg while kicking, for example, or, you know, other things. You know, the WWE style is you know, different. Different companies have different styles. You know this. But, you know, there are things you can and can't do in WWE, and you go to NXT, you learn the ropes from them, how to do things there, how to actually work to the camera, know where all your cameras are, play up to the cameras, work on your entrance, you know, the kind of things that WWE likes to do, you know, and guys that are coming in from independent promotions or from Japan or from Mexico or from wherever, they don't really know these things. This is what NXT is for, to give them that that polish, to have them be prepared when they are on Raw and SmackDown so they know what to do. And, you know, after they have completed their run in NXT, they would get called up to the main roster eventually. But we've seen as of late that has not been the case. And it kind of started back when they decided to make NXT a touring brand, to take it across the country and not just work the Largo Loop, if you will, or Cocoa Beach, Florida, or whatever. Now you are having them do major cities like New York, LA, and Chicago. And, you know, Vince McMahon could call up and be like,
"Oh, hello there, Triple H. I need Aleister Black for Raw next week." And Triple H would be like, "No, I don't think so. How am I going to draw the house in Chicago without Aleister Black?"
You know what I mean? So it'd be like, "Hey, you can't take my guy. I need him. How am I going to make money on these house shows if I don't have top guys, you know, guys that draw?" You know, you're not going to be able to draw flies with, like, NXT Performance Center or WWE Performance Center guys who have only wrestled, like, you know, five matches or whatever, or have never wrestled before, guys that are coming over from other sports. How are you going to draw people into, you know, house shows with those guys? So that's why you are seeing them sign up all of these big-name indie guys and having them work NXT, because they were using them to draw money for these house shows. And then, you know, eventually when it got to USA, NXT went from being a developmental to basically being the third brand. It has become what was ECW, the WWE ECW. We are basically back where we started about, I don't know, 18 years ago or whatever it was, where you had, maybe longer than that, where you had SmackDown, Raw, and ECW. You've just replaced the letters ECW with NXT, basically, is where we're at now. And so there's no progression, because there's some people that are staying there that are lifers. I'm looking at guys like Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, who should have moved on by now, or like an Adam Cole or a Kyle O'Reilly, any of those guys from Undisputed Era. All of those people should have been moved up by now. You should have been pushing all new guys, and those guys should be on Raw and SmackDown right now. Pete Dunne's another guy. You know what I mean? And then you're having people coming back down, like Finn Balor. You know, he doesn't want to work Raw and SmackDown anymore. And what was very interesting is that he did an interview, I think way back in like 2015, talking about he didn't want to go to Raw and SmackDown right away. He wanted to stay in NXT. And soon after, he would get called up to the main roster. And we saw how that worked out. He wanted to go back to NXT. So he generally, it looked like he enjoyed working in NXT and didn't really care to work on Raw and SmackDown. And that's why he wanted to come back. And, you know, that's worked out very well for him since he came back down. I mean, he's been consistently the best performer in WWE in the last year since he's been on NXT. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't have a problem with that, considering the fact that we've seen what happened to a lot of these people that come up from NXT. But that's not on, you know, the guys that run NXT. That's on the people that run Raw and SmackDown. But, you know, as far as it goes, it's no longer really a developmental. Now we're having Evolve come back, and they are going to be developmental to the developmental. So, yeah, NXT has basically become a third brand now. It's no longer what it was originally intended to be. And the focus of the show has gone from being just this no-nonsense, straight-up wrestling promotion type deal where it was like, you know, two guys have a problem, they wrestle. One guy wins, one guy loses. Now we're seeing a lot of wacky storylines that you see on Raw and SmackDown every week. It's basically become, you know, just another show in the WWE. And Triple H claimed that he had a vision that was different than Vince McMahon's. I don't know what happened to that vision.
I guess stay tuned and we'll find out as the days come and the WWE turns. Right now we take a break from what we are talking about to welcome in our guest, the arch nemesis to the It is the man who hosts Snowverload, a fine music podcast that we all are big fans of. Friend of the show, welcome in to Mike Stover.
What's going on?
How you doing there, Snowverload, as the ghost would say?
I know. Where is he, man? I missed the ghost. Being there, getting ooh, yeah.
I think everybody that is listening to this show probably misses the ghost in some form or fashion. He is helping a good friend of ours go through a tough time with the loss of a loved one. So we gave the ghost the night off, and we hope he'll be back next week. He's earned the break, and I hope they heal soon.
Yeah, well, big shout out to Ghost, man. Hell of a guy.
So you're here, Stover.
I'm here.
What are you bringing with you? What are you bringing? What's in your bag of tricks this evening? What do you have for the gorilla position this
We're just cutting right to the chase tonight, aren't we?
We're getting right into it. No more pleasantries. We'll talk about who you have coming up on the podcast in a bit. I want to get right to the gravy. This is a no-nonsense show tonight.
All right. Well, I'm glad you said that, Steve, because I've been saving one for you.
Really?
I'm going to stump to Steve. I'm going to do a doubleheader in one night.
Okay, well, hey, we like doubleheaders, and, you know, it's not very challenging to stump to Steve. Swink does it about 17 times a day, so we'll just add this notch to your bedpost, and we'll move on. So, go away. I'm ready to be stumped.
You be the music boss that you are. I'm trying to think
That's
of the
true.
Best way to word this without giving it away. Which member started a band with a member from Night Ranger and the Motor City Madman?
Oh, my God. That's Tommy Shaw, Jack Blades, and Ted Nugent, along with Dino Castronovo. That would be Damn Yankees, and that's the love child of Stick and Night Ranger.
Absolutely. That's all I had for you, man. I was trying to think of something good, and I've been out of jail.
I know all about High Enough.
I've been out. Well, man, it's not just High Enough, man. That first and second album of theirs is awesome.
Hey, don't tread on me, bitches.
Damn right. Damn right.
The best part of the damn Yankees, other than the fact that the musicianship of Tommy Shaw and Jack Blades went on to become a duo called Shaw Blades that released a couple of albums. If you haven't ever heard their music, it is spectacular. Check it out immediately. My Hallucination is the album, one of the most underrated albums I have ever heard. But the best thing about the damn Yankees is the video for High Enough, when the two outlaws are holed up in the shack and the police are getting ready to shoot. Ted Nugent kicks that door open cold with a ripping 80s, 90s glam metal guitar solo. One of the greatest music video moments in history.
I was laughing, too, because it seemed like they were doing all that firing, and I didn't realize what you just said. They were, like, ricocheting or he was stopping them. I thought they had bad aim. It was like completely missing them.
It was very much a Star Wars moment for two reasons. Either Ted Nugent is very capable with the Force, or the police in that town have the aim of a stormtrooper.
Yeah, yeah. You see, I've always liked musicians come into the world of wrestling and blow the wrestling fans away. But Ozzy Osbourne was on SmackDown, and he said, "Well, I'm never giving up." What the hell was the name of that damn song? He was on SmackDown. He's promoting a new album. I Don't Want to Stop. That was the name of it. And he was on there. Yeah, the crowd went nuts, and I was sitting there getting into it. I mean, I was loving it, and I love seeing musicians come over to the WWE and do live performances. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's something that they did. You know, WWE music in the late 90s, early 2000s was a big revenue stream for them, as the Swink will tell you. And you had artists like Kid Rock, Limp Bizkit, that would get their music over and sell more records, because all the wrestling fans that probably had never heard of them before were like, oh, my God, American Badass, let's buy this. Or, Roland, let's buy this. So very effective marriage of music and promotion. But the WWE has been doing that forever. The Rock and Wrestling Connection was huge on MTV, and that's part of the reason why I think WrestleMania was so big initially. But that's just the opinion of this old dude. Now it's time to stump the Swink. We've all looked forward to it. I am unstumpable when it comes to music, but the Swink, typically unstumpable when it goes overload. Take your best shot. The Swink is always ready. He is a predator.
All right, so Mr. Howard Swinkle, I got two for you. I've been saving these. I've been thinking long and hard. But here's my first one. Which diva used stationery as a bikini on SmackDown?
Stationery.
That's Martez. I know.
Oh, come on, man. That's a low blow.
Poor Martez. An honorable reverend that is painted as Billy D. Williams, the ladies' man.
Or a whoremonger.
Huh. That is a good question.
Wait, this is in your era, too. You watch the WWE at this point.
Yeah. So, let me see here. You said SmackDown.
It happened on SmackDown.
Okay.
No Googling either.
Stationary as in what?
I'm not going to say anymore. But say more, I'll be giving it away.
Okay, I'm going to go with Stacy Keibler.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Steve or Martez, either one of you guys want to give this a shot?
Oh, I can't even remember what I had for dinner last night. I'm not going to remember a deep wearing stationery.
How about
Ivory? Just throwing that out.
Corey Wilson.
The turtle chimes in. the turtle chimes in. His guest is Dawn Marie.
Is that your guys' final answers?
Okay,
yes.
So the Swink picked Stacy Keyboard. I picked Ivory. Turtle has Dawn Marie. And Martez, of course, has Trish Stratus.
Wait, is that what Martez said? I thought he said Corey Wilson.
He did. I was just kidding.
I was about to say. All right. Well, it was Trish Stratus.
Ooh.
She came out in bubble wrap.
Oh, Martez,
wow.
How did you not know this? How is that picture not hanging up in your den?
No comment.
He learned from the last time.
Apparently, you guys haven't seen the Open Talk 313 stationery.
Every time he sees bubble wrap now, that image is going to come to mind.
I would ask you to send me that link, but I don't want to be perceived as a horn dog.
You really want to go through this again, Martez?
That's Reverend
no,
Horn
not.
Dog to you.
I know this is like a month or two ago, but I still heard that was by far the funniest moment to this day. Was that one moment, Martez, with you? Where's it at? I still laugh about that.
Yes.
All right, so you got one over on the Swing. He did not know it was Trish Stratus. I thought he was
okay.
Right. That sounded like a Stacy Keibler gimmick from back in those days. So Swing loses this round. Stover, you said you had two. What is number two?
All right. Went on to form a band known as the Luchagors.
Repeat that. You broke up.
Which diva went on to make a band known as the Luchagors?
This one's easy. That's Lita.
Yeah, well, you got that one pretty quick.
That's the final out. There you go. So you tried to stump us three times. You were unsuccessful twice. So that means Gorilla Position takes the match 1-0 over the Stoverload.
Yeah, you did. And by the way, who was doing that fantasy draft league that put me in a match with, who was it, Bastion Booger or something like that? I saw an advertisement on Facebook. I'm like, how the hell did I get pulled into this?
Who's he fighting, Swank?
Oh, Mike Stover is wrestling Coco T. Ware, the leader
of
K-Fade, the People's Band.
I think I'll lay down for this one. he needs a win after all.
Hey, that's an honor to be involved in our little Gorilla Position madness. So you have become a character in the extended Gorilla Position universe. So, you know, if we have a crisis on Infinite Blog Talk, you might be a pivotal character in saving the universe.
Hey, I'm all right. You guys are the ones I like talking about wrestling. And did you guys talk about the AEW Dynamite from last week with that no-holds-barred match with Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa?
We did spend a little time on Britt versus Thunder Rosa. What were your thoughts on it?
Oh, my God. That's all I could say. I've never seen such brutality in the States in a women's match like I saw in that. That was like, oh, my God. I don't care for it that much anymore, but I was blown away by that. I couldn't believe the lengths they were going to.
I think we all agreed last week when we were talking about this that, you know, we certainly appreciated and applauded the graphic nature of what those ladies accomplished. But I think what was even better than that is the story that they told, not only in that match, and the storytelling in that match was fantastic, but the entire vignette from start to finish between Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker was really one of the most compelling rivalries we've had in wrestling in recent times. That was a nice payoff. I don't know what's going to happen next. Thunder Rosa's, you know, all over the damn place now, especially with NWA back. So I don't know where this goes from here, but boy, for one night, we all watched with our jaws dropped on the floor. witnessing what right now to me is easily the match of 2021. And it's going to take a yeoman's effort to have somebody upset that and be better because they were phenomenal.
Right. And there's another question I have. And, Swink, I want to get your opinion on the matter. Recently on Raw, you saw The Fiend return and he laid out Orton. But then you saw Alexa Bliss go and straddle him. And I just kind of wonder, do a lot of these guys that are married see crap like that? And there's a lot of catfights, a lot of bad blood start happening? Or do you think they understand its story and they just kind of roll with it?
Well, I was hoping we didn't have to discuss this yet, but now we haven't talked about Fastlane, but at Fastlane, the burnt hot dog known as the Fiend returned, and Alexa Bliss defeated Randy Orton in a wrestling match. Yes, I can't believe I'm saying that, but Alexa Bliss defeated Orton, and when she pinned him, she straddled him. And what makes it even more awkward is the fact that they have Alexa Bliss out there dressing like she's, you know, a schoolgirl. Like, and she's acting like she's like a 10-year-old girl. And so it all comes off as very creepy to me. And I'm sure a certain section of wrestling fans that get their jollies on this whole thing, but I'm not a fan of any of it. I've never liked The Fiend, and I never will. I've never liked Alexa Bliss, for that matter. And to answer your question, I don't know how Randy Orton's wife feels about the whole thing, because we all know Randy Orton has a wife and kids.
Right.
So I don't know how his wife would feel about that, but I'm sure that she knows it's all part of the all part of the act, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, I see what you're saying about the thing, but it's like you don't really have too many dark characters or demonic characters around anymore, so you got to give the Fiend some credit. You know what I mean? He is doing a character and portraying something we don't have much of anymore.
Well,
I've never been
give him credit. It's terrible.
I've never been a fan of Bray Wyatt, you know, and I think that he's a subpar wrestler at best, and, you know, he gets by on his gimmick alone, and there are people that are into it, and if they're into it, that's fine, but it's just not for me.
Fair enough. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm really not that excited about WrestleMania this year. I'm just not seeing anything that's really drawing me in, like, oh, yeah, I got to check this out. It seems kind of mundane.
I suspect that in the coming weeks, we will be forced to acknowledge the card and go over it, and, you know, we'll make our predictions. Acknowledge the tribal chief. We will do a lot of acknowledging over the next couple of weeks, but, you know.
We've got another 2 weeks before that, or at least another week. So I think that not next week, but the week of WrestleMania, which is April the 8th, we're going to most likely have to go through both nights of this show.
And, you know, it may change somewhat between now and then, and they may add things, and things may become different. Things may become extra.
Well, right now, they've announced 8 matches that we know of. 3 on one show, 3 on the other, and then we have 2 matches which haven't been determined on which night they're going to be on.
So you imagine that you're going to get 2 hours a night. Is that pretty accurate? You'll get an hour pre-show and then 2 hours of show. So you got about 6 hours to contend with, right?
I would say it might be even longer than that because, yes, the network pay-per-view events or whatever you want to call them have been on the short side as of late. They've been a little under 3 hours, sometimes 2.5, sometimes 2:45. It kind of depends. But, yeah, they have been shorter as of late, and I do appreciate that. And the fact that you're doing stuff one instead. If this was like a normal time where they decided to do just one WrestleMania show, it would most likely be a 7-hour event. But with this being two different shows, I could see both nights being 3 hours or even more a piece.
It's a lot.
It's boring now. I mean, I'm sorry. To me, it's boring. Like when I heard you guys talking about NXT, and I like NXT. I like NXT a lot better than I like Raw or SmackDown, to be honest with you, because it seems to be a lot more freedom in NXT for guys to really live out their character without so much status quo and stipulations being put on them. That's why some of those guys like to stay there for that reason, SmackDown or Raw. If you have the freedom there like you do in NXT.
A lot of the booking I don't really care for anymore in NXT. It's changed a lot over the years with different people behind the scenes working on the show. You've now got three members of DX running the shop down there. You've got Triple H, HBK, and Road Dogg running things. And, you know, there's a lot of needless stipulation matches that I've seen. Like, here's an example of what they're doing next week. And this is all very convoluted. So next week there's going to be a battle royal to qualify for a gauntlet match the next week. There's going to be 12 people in this battle royal. I'm assuming it's after they get to like six people, that's going to determine who's going to be in the gauntlet match. Again, I don't know for sure, but that's what I'm assuming. And then this gauntlet match is supposed to happen on next takeover event on the first night. Then the winner of this gauntlet match goes on to the second night of this takeover event, the next night, to face Gargano for the North American title. So did you follow all of that?
Are we having technical difficulties tonight?
Do you see what I mean with, like, the needless stipulation matches and all of this convoluted nonsense? It's just like, just name a number one contender and have a match. Why do everyone has to jump through hoops for everything?
Yeah. You know, one thing that kind of bummed me out was when Dakota Kai and Rosales, they won the tag titles for the women's division and lost them in the same night they got them. I was like,
that sucks because Dakota Kai's
good.
That whole thing was ridiculous because here you have Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler show up on the show. They defend the women's tag team titles against Kai and Gonzalez. The finish itself was ridiculous because Kai wasn't even the legal wrestler in the match. She wasn't tagged in. It was Raquel. Raquel was knocked out of the ring, and Raquel and Jax went over top of the announce table. Shayna locked on the Karafuda clutch, the submission hold on Kai, who wasn't even the legal person. She tapped out. The referee called for the bell and gave the win to Baszler and Jax. So that made no sense. Then they decided to create these women's NXT tag team titles as if this company needs even more belts because they have so many title belts, it's hard to keep track of who has what belts and where anymore. So they decided to create even more belts because why not? Then they just hand them over to Raquel and Kai, and then they have to defend them later on in the show against Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon, and then they lose them in the first defense. And it's like, what are we doing anymore?
Yeah, I was just watching the NXT highlights from this week, and you know one of the things that irritates the shit out of me? Sorry, I don't know if I can't cuss on the show or not, but it irritates the crap out of me is watching wrestlers set up a move. When you see them getting into position, getting ready to take someone's finisher, and it's like, do you guys know how to make it believable? Like, I saw Ember Moon put on her finisher, and the girl literally looking right at her, walked over there, stood still, and waited to take the move.
Well, that move that she does, the eclipse, the stunner off the top, It's always kind of a hard move to, like, set up anyway.
Yeah, but still, you got to at least put some effort into it. Don't make it so damn obvious. I mean, limp a little, you know, act like you're hurt. Do something. Don't just walk over there all nonchalant, like, hey, everything's cool. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm ready. You know, no.
I get what you're saying, but, yeah, that move is always kind of hard to make look, quote-unquote, believable. But also for her to actually hit it, like, really clean, because sometimes when she does it, it doesn't come off very well. So it's a rather difficult move. And really, Ember Moon should probably get another finisher and use that instead of that move.
Right. 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 So is a blast being on the gorilla position.
Mr. Silver, what is coming up in future episodes of the Silverload podcast?
Ooh, this season's been getting pretty pretty serious. And we're bringing up all new lineups of all new artists, all new rock blocks. And before I get into that, though, I got to send a special shout-out to two individuals. The first one is a very special guy because he just made my video commercial, if you haven't seen it online yet. And it's got to go out to KC Omega and One Fall Media. They're the ones who did it and produced it. It is amazing, completely amazing. And Alex Thorne's the other guy who's been a constant support in all projects I've done, and he's been a great help throughout all of it. He's making me look good. And in turn, it makes my guests look good, so hey. But this week, we have a phenomenal artist by the name of Miss Sydney Sherwood. This girl's only 19, and I'm telling you guys right here, right now, she's going to be a future icon. Just give it time. She is way ahead of her game, completely talented in ways you wouldn't expect.
What is the genre of music that she is affiliated with?
I'd say rock, maybe rock. I wouldn't say country, but it might have like a country feel in some places, but overall it's mainly rock, and one of the guys from Chris Daughtry's band has been working with her.
If you were going to make a comparison to this young lady and someone that we might know readily that's successful now, where would you compare her?
In terms of vocal style?
Well, vocal style, presentation, what she does.
I can't really think of anybody off the top of my head because she's very unique. The sound of her voice, I could hear a little bit of Amy Winehouse in her voice.
Okay.
So, I mean, if I had to throw something out there, I told her that in the interview, which you guys can hear this weekend on the Silverload Music Podcast. You can look for it online. And I told her that in the interview, and I was like, I can distinctly hear that. And I don't like to compare people to other artists, but as music fans, things just strike you in a certain way. And she did that with me, and her hit song right now is called Creep, and it's an amazing song. It's about her dealings with anxiety and depression, and she wrote an amazing song about it.
Well, that sounds like something that anybody that likes music should want to listen to get a even subtle comparison. Someone who's like as iconic as Amy Winehouse has been should be a very interesting listen. And where can people catch the Silverload Music Podcast this weekend?
It will be, if you follow me on Facebook, that's like the major social media site that I use. I don't really use other ones. But you can look me up on Facebook under Mike Stover, or you can find me on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Podbean, Buzzsprout, and Listen Notes.
You are very consumable in very popular markets. Mike, it's always a pleasure to have you on the Gorilla Position. Hopefully you'll check in with us real soon, and we'll give the Macho Ghost your best.
Please do, because I was just listening to his album, and it's like, man, I saw Let's Get It on there, and I thought that was Marvin Gaye's version. I'm like, cool, Macho Man's going to sing Let's Get It On.
He'll be back, and he'll be better than ever, and maybe he will sing a little Marvin Gaye just for you.
That would be awesome. And maybe we can get him to do a cover of Cardi B's WAP while he's at it.
Yes. Let's do that, because that would be the equivalent of Fastlane musically. All right, Mike. We're going to let you go. We appreciate your time. thanks for checking in. Thanks for stumping the swing, and we will catch you down the road.
Take it easy, guys.
That is Mike Stover. You can catch the Stoverload Music Podcast on Facebook. A new episode airs this weekend. Check it out. He's a friend of the show. We're always happy to support the friends of our show. Swink, he got over on you once, but you came back strong with the second rebuttal. Well done, sir.
Well, thank you.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, what should we cover next?
That is an excellent question. I want to ask Martez. Martez, are you still with us?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Do we have any more calls on the line? Is there anybody out there in cyberspace that is looking to get their opinion on this broadcast?
We have Gina and we have Kayvon, I believe, on the line. But we don't have a special guest yet.
We will get to Kayvon and we will get to Gina. We'll bring Gina on when I recap CSW in just a little while. So be patient. And Kayvon, the Macho Ghost would kill us if we don't get to you tonight. So at some point we will get to you. So all our callers, we will get to you. Just have to be patient, and we appreciate that as always. Swink, the board is yours. Where would you like to move your pawn next?
If we stick with WWE, I guess we can talk about this Fastlane show because I actually did watch that.
All right, let's not spend an hour and 45 minutes on the WWE tonight. We started off unexpectedly because I wanted to get Martez's opinion on the disintegrating Hurt Business, and that lasted way longer than I wanted to. And we haven't even gotten to Fastlane yet, and we're just about to end the hour. So let's go through it. What did you like? What didn't you like? Actually, the better question is, what did you tolerate and what was intolerable?
All right, so I guess we can go through this real quick. There wasn't a whole lot on this show that I particularly liked.
That's a shock.
If we're being honest here. This pay-per-view... It just felt like, why are we doing a show 3 weeks before WrestleMania? It doesn't make a whole lick of sense to do this other than, you know, the old C word, and I'm talking about content, of course, not that C word.
I thought you were talking about cock as in peacock.
Well, you know, CC, content for the cock.
That's right. A little CC, and we all need a little CC every now and again. The Peacock Network, for me, I logged in to Peacock and there was WWE. I was able to watch it. I had no problems accessing the stream. I had no sound for the period of 45 minutes, which was probably for the best. And it would freeze from time to time. I have to think this is probably the biggest
thing. So you just said, wait. You just said you had no issues. Then you just described two issues you had.
Well, if they were issues that concerned me, I would be more upset about it. But I've worked at the Edge on Air and Tago, and I've worked at CPW in the production aspect. And when things go sideways in a wrestling broadcast, I'm pretty used to it. So I just kind of try to focus on the positives and move through. I think we both are. Temporary training.
I think we both are. But you just said you had some issues. So there you go. I, on the other hand, had zero issues with mine. Although here's the thing that you cannot do right now during the live streams. I don't know if people know this or not. You cannot pause the live stream. So... if you have to get up to go to the bathroom, you are SOL because you're going to miss something.
Well, you're not really SOL because there are lots of bathroom breaks. Fastlane had more bathroom breaks than it had content.
You can also not jump into the show. And let's say, like, you're on the WWE Network, usually watching it. You know how if you come in, let's say you're an hour late for the show for whatever reason, you can start it from the beginning, right?
Right.
With Peacock, if you come in an hour late, You missed an hour. Start from the beginning.
Ah,
you can also,
well, there you go.
You cannot fast forward as well. So no fast forward, no pause. You can't just, like, start from the beginning if you come in late. Basically, as of right now, that's the issues with the stream. I'm assuming, but you know what they say when you assume, but I'm assuming they will have these issues worked out at some point. But right now, that is what's going on. Obviously, you can watch the show later on VOD when the live stream is over. Some people are saying that there is a message on there when you go to watch the show again on the VOD. It says you have 5 days remaining or whatever to watch this. So people are saying, does that mean that this is going to be removed in 5 days, or what is this about? Other people are saying that this is just something that's on a lot of content on Peacock to begin with. And they're saying that it's something that they put up for, like, say you're on the free tier of Peacock. It's something like if you're watching something, you have X amount of days to watch it before it's removed. Or it's no longer available for free and you have to pay the $5 to watch it is what I'm saying. I don't think that they are removing this event from Peacock. If it is, then that is kind of ridiculous.
Well, all I've been hearing are people complain about the way the content has been edited for Peacock. Some of the older, racier shows back during the Attitude Era, per se. And
actually, it wasn't an Attitude Era show. It was WrestleMania VI. That's what you're referring to. WrestleMania VI featuring the match between Roddy Piper and Bad News Brown. That has been removed from the show because that was the infamous moment where Piper wrestled in half blackface.
So, okay, so that, I guess, me, you know, boy, it's you don't like to edit history because it happened. But in this day and age, you know, eliminating things that are in, well, it's always been in poor taste. We're just a little bit more interested in not experiencing these things anymore. So I don't have any real problem with something like that being eliminated. But you know, you can't edit history. I mean, I maybe you shouldn't edit history. People have behaved badly for years, and it's the people that have behaved badly or made mistakes that we can learn from. So as not to repeat them, so to ignore them blindly and cut them away seems a little irresponsible to me. But I have a feeling, you know, that's going to be the norm on Peacock because you're dealing with people that have a, shall we say, different sense of morality.
I just would hate to be the poor NBC intern who has to go through all of these wrestling shows and edit the content from them, especially if they're this NBC intern that's not a wrestling fan, and they have to go through all of these wrestling shows and edit out this content because Peacock doesn't want it on there.
Wait till we get to Edge and Lita's sex show or whatever they did that one time. I think that'll
make
the cut.
Live sex celebration?
Yeah,
that's
think
not,
that'll make
that's
the
not
cut.
Making
I know
cut.
Martez has that on HD DVD.
But what I was thinking of the incident where DX mocked the Nation of Domination, and they were in blackface.
That's another one that's got to go. If you're setting standards, that one won't be around much longer.
No,
yeah.
I don't know.
Or the Vince McMahon.
Go ahead, Martez.
Calling John Cena the N word. I guess.
Yeah, that one too.
Yeah. Well, I don't have an issue.
Although
with
I think
that,
they should keep the Booker T promo from WCW Spring Stampede in there though.
Oh yeah. I think we have that audio, but I don't care.
That was fantastic. In a previous version of that pay-per-view, before the network, they had the whole old remember the WWE 24/7 when they had that thing?
Yeah.
So when they had that, they had put that pay-per-view on there, and they edited it where Booker T says sucka instead of, you know, the other word. And it sounds awkward because you can tell it was clearly dubbed over his real line. So in that version, it's a dub. In the WWE Network version, it is the uncensored version of the infamous promo, which I appreciated. And also something else they didn't edit out of the network version of Clash of the Champions, I believe it was from the same year, is when Brian Pillman comes up behind Bobby Heenan, who's on commentary, and he's like, what the fuck are you doing? And
like the editing that they're doing is a lot like what TBS and TNT do to Smokey and the Bandit, where they edit Jackie Gleason's dialogue, which is cursing just about every other word. And it's done by someone whose voice is trying to sound like him, but isn't really him. And you cut from his live dialogue to the edited dialogue, and it's almost impossible to watch.
That's like when you watch Die Hard 2 on TV, and he's like, yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
Oh, God. You know what? If we lived in England, this wouldn't be a problem. You can say whatever you want on television over there.
Oh, they like to throw the C word around. The actual C word.
All right, let's get back to Fastlane. Swink, I'm going to have to ask you to get off the cock and move on to Fastlane.
So, yeah, about the show itself, I like I said, I didn't have any streaming issues, which is funny because I've had nothing but streaming issues with the WWE Network on my Roku for the last several months. So it was kind of funny. The first one I watch on Peacock, it actually works.
It's poetic justice is what it is.
Hey guys,
but
just wanted to sorry
yes,
to cut you off, Swink. We do have somebody at the door knocking, so I'll wait to get your instructions to open the door or not.
Who is it?
C Red.
All right, well, let's bring him in. Doing us a favor tonight, pinch hitting for the Macho Ghost, joining us here in hour two. Is my partner from the Power Hour, the Urban Sensation. Let's give a big gorilla position welcome to the one and only icon, C Red. What's happening, Red?
What's going on, fellas?
How you doing, man?
Man, please. I got one more day.
You got one more day. Listen, you caught us at the
one
right
more
time.
Day.
We are just about to start talking about the Fastlane pay-per-view. Did you have a chance to see it?
Did you really ask me that, Steve?
I'm just curious.
I mean, ain't nothing else on. Ain't no football right now. So, I mean, you know, yeah, I watched it. And, I mean, I watched it for the simple fact it's supposed to be the go-home pay-per-view before Mania. So, I mean... It is what it is.
Don't sound too enthused about it.
Swink, here's my thing, and I know you're going to technically break it down. I mean,
break
overall,
it, down.
it had its moments, but I grew up, because I'm a little bit older, Steve's a little bit older, we grew up in an era where after the Rumble, there were no pay-per-views. So you had months to build up stories the proper way and make the anticipation from Mania mouth-watering. Like you wanted to see them. Like we might have got a Saturday night's main event, you know, but you got, your mouth was salivating. And you wanted Mania. And a lot of stuff, I feel like they're you know, I don't know if you guys did it, but remember some boys in the younger generation, when they were younger, I should say, remember you used to take toilet paper, take it to the sink, wad it up, and throw it up in the air and see if it would stick to the ceiling. That's exactly what I feel like some of this stuff they're doing. Let's toss it up there, see if it'll stick.
Yeah, I there's another term for that, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And there's like, you would think with two nights of mania, I would be excited. Like, wow, they're going to have a lot of stuff that I'm really interested in, and it's the complete opposite.
No, I get what you're saying.
Fastlane did not, it had its hits and misses for me. Now, again, everybody else is different, you know, and maybe a lot of times I look at it from a worker's standpoint, you know, I try to watch it as a fan, but there are just sometimes I'm like, no, you know, and I get it, you know, these guys, you know, they work hard to get where they are, you know, they deserve it to some aspect, you know, but then it's just like, this is what you give us. Like, okay. So for me, the moment of the night, of course, had to be Randy Orton, the Fiend, or if that's what he's calling himself now. I don't know. The burnt Freddy Krueger version of the Fiend. I love that storyline because at least it's one storyline that has continued constantly for months. So I'm fine with that. The whole Roman Reigns, I'm calling him Brian. Can we call him Brian Danielson on here? I don't know.
You can do whatever you want, Red.
Well, because I know him as Brian, you know? Like, so when they flipped his name around, I was like, oh, okay, all right.
Daniel Bryan, Danielson, it's all the same.
Right, but, I mean, I'm not feeling this because I'm feeling like this is going to be a three-way. And
oh, yeah, totally.
Like, they've been doing that a lot in the past few manias. Where it's three ways.
Yeah.
And it's like, personally, then it kind of takes away from Edge winning the Rumble. Because Edge, quote unquote, had to go through 29 other guys to get this opportunity. He does it. And then because Brian doesn't decide, hey, well, I still got some fight left in me. Let me stick my nose in here. And it's like, well, isn't that taken away from Edge winning? You know, I mean, at this point, couldn't anybody just say, hey, well, I deserve a shot at the title too, you know?
So here's what I'm thinking the logic is behind this whole thing. And I will say this. The match that stood out to me was probably McIntyre and Sheamus. That was probably the best match on this whole show. But as far as this goes, here's what I'm thinking they decided to do here. This is very reminiscent of the year that Bryan main evented WrestleMania 30, where he was added to the main event there and was made a triple threat. Like, remember the big return at Rumble was Batista, and he won the Rumble, and that didn't go over very well. This is another instance of that, where Edge won the Rumble. That didn't go over very well, because remember, there was that week where he was on all three shows, Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, and it didn't do very well in terms of viewership and ratings. Things were the interest in Edge wasn't there. It was kind of the same thing with Batista, and they decided to make Batista a heel in the situation rather than a babyface. And it seems like they're doing the same thing with Edge here, and they've inserted Brian in this match to be the babyface with the two heels. And this is basically just a repeat of a WrestleMania we had, you know, 7 years ago. Or 8 years ago, I guess now. So basically it's just WWE repeating the same thing over and over again. And that's not surprising because it is WWE. They're very cyclical with this whole thing. It's the more things change, the more they stay the same with this company.
I agree. But that's one of the things where you start to lose viewership and you start to lose fans, because I want something different. I want something original. I don't want to see a match I just saw six, seven, however many years ago it was. I don't. You know, I understand that, you know, it, like they say, you're trying to catch lightning in a bottle. And let's be honest, you know, Undertaker, Shawn Michaels. First time it happened, you were like, damn. Second time it happened, and you were like, there's no way they're going to be able to outdo that performance. And I don't know if they outdid it, but they sure enough, it topped and equaled what they had performed before. So to see Daniel Bryan in the same situation again is like, you know, I'm not feeling it. And honestly, right now, I prefer Roman as a champ. I'm loving his work as the head of the table, even though we all know who the true head of the table is. And I can't wait till they play out their storyline, or hopefully they do. If they're smart, they will, in some shape, form, or fashion. Especially with this whole deal with Peacock and NBC, and hopefully by the time Black Adam comes out, you know, that's enough momentum to kick this thing into overdrive. But I'm not feeling this match. It had my interest, where it was just Edge and Roman, it no longer has that appeal to me. It doesn't.
Yeah, and the other thing is that WWE triple threat matches are really played out. They're as played out as ladder matches are in that company, and for me, I just can't get excited about ladder matches anymore because of this company. And I can't get excited about triple threat matches because they all kind of have that same formula where one guy gets knocked out of the ring and the other two guys wrestle, and then one of those guys gets knocked out, the other guy that was out of the ring comes back in. And it's the same formula over and over in these matches.
But Swain, you've been to live events. And am I wrong for breaking the fourth wall here? Can I break the fourth wall on your show? I do it on my show.
Like Chris Jericho, see Red, break the walls down.
Dude, that's the basis of any triple threat. I mean, really, is, you know, you have to try to figure out, all right, who's going out first? What are they getting laid out with so the other two guys can go at it? I mean, and it's a constant throw one guy out, the other two guys get it in, throw the second guy out. So, I mean, and there's no originality to it. You know, it's a basis formula, and everybody uses it. That's why I also agree. I hate triple threats. I hate fatal four ways. Because
is your show rated like, you know, FCC and all of that?
If you need to drop a bomb every now and again.
Okay, good. I'm glad you said that. Because in this business, we call them clusterfucks. Because that's what they are. And then it's not, I mean, if it's really needed and the owner or promoter or the booker tells you, you know, this is why we need this to get across, okay. But I hate it when, a promoter just, oh, okay, you know you got a match next month, and then you find out it's a triple threat. Or a fatal four-way, and it's like, what? Huh?
Well, that's because they booked too many guys, and then they got to figure out how to get everybody on the card.
How about not book everybody?
Right, exactly. No, I agree. Wayne, why do you have all these scramble matches on these shows? Because you overbooked the show.
I mean, the one thing that I will say I have respect for is certain promoters, and I'm not putting anybody over because they're not paying me to. But there are a few promotions that I know, like, they're limiting their matches to, like, six. And they've already told people, we're not booking everybody for every show. And I respect that because guess what? I don't want my pay cut because you can only get so many fans in here. And, you know, but you can't pay the boys what you were paying them before. So now I got to take a pay cut. No, I'm good. Therefore, you know, I respect, you know, people that have that idea and can respect that. Sometimes, guess what? Less is more. And I've been saying that for a while. And that not only means matches and in your match, but that also pertains to talent, that you don't need 40 guys sitting in the back to put on a spectacular show.
No, I completely agree with you there, and I agree with you. I love the fact that some of these promotions have smaller cards. Some of them have shorter matches, too. I mean, as a fan, I just enjoy that because I don't – I'm now of the times where I don't want to be at a show for, like, 4 hours, you know? I would like to go home at some point, you know? Back in the day, maybe I would have been like, yeah, 4 hours, more wrestling. But now it's more like, hey, can we wrap this up? I want to go home.
You know, Turtle just chimed in, and he said he does not like being involved in triple threat matches at all. And he said even though he's won both the triple threats that he's been in. And that makes me think about June 12th in Michigan City. C-Red, you yourself is going to be involved in a triple threat match.
Not a triple threat. It's a six-man tag. Get it right,
Steve. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Six-man tag. difference. I get to tag somebody and say, look, the old man is tagged. You get in.
I don't know why that came to my head like that.
There's a difference. And even those can get difficult at times, but you can still pace those. The difference with three ways and fatal four ways and scramble matches and all this is because you want to keep the fans' attention on what's going on in the ring. And if you get, you know, so it becomes difficult for fans to care about what's going on in the ring when guy A just got thrown out. Oh, he's hurt. But they know at some point guy A is getting back in because guy B just got thrown out. So here's guy A. Now he's sliding back in to attack guy C. And it's just so, at this point, generic because you know what's going to happen. The only difference is you don't know the finish. So you don't know who's going over. And, I mean, right. maybe you can get creative, maybe. But 9 times out of 10, it's like, like Twink said earlier about this particular match, again, it looks like it's going to be two heels and a baby. Well, everybody wants the baby to go. You know, but then you turn around and you figure, oh, well, how is heel A going to take out heel B? And then baby sneaks in, tosses heel A and covers heel B and gets the cover, you know, like, and if I just caught that match for them, I'm sorry, you know, but oh, well,
I'm not. That right there is 18 years of breaking down professional wrestling. C-Red has been in this business a long, long time. So he's given you some of the finer inside points that you will hear anywhere. I think Red could teach a class on wrestling psychology, and I think people would benefit from it. And I did misspeak. I don't know where I got triple threat from a six-man tag team. It's just the late hour and the fact that, like you said on Tuesday night, I ain't got nothing going on between the ears. So maybe there was some truth to that.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even remember Tuesday night. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't have anything else to really – oh, well,
fast,
go ahead.
I wanted to say Fastlane. My favorite moment that happened in that pay-per-view was as Randy Orton is stalking Alexa Bliss on the outside and she is happily 10-year-old dancing. And the lighting truss all of it. That lighting truss was from Vintage Hollywood in 1947. When was the last time you saw a lighting truss that looked like that? See, Red, that might have been from WrestleMania 1.
Dude, but that was the beauty part of it, that if you didn't catch it, like, you know, like, are we supposed to believe that y'all spent all this money and y'all used a good truss? Nah. Y'all already got problems with monitors being thrown, microphones being dropped, and, you know, I'm sure, again, they needed something. So they were like, well, let's drop. We got this old lighting truss in the warehouse. And that's one thing, if I could ever go, you know, people like museums and things, I want to go to the warehouse and I just want to see all the stuff that's just sitting around, just sitting there. I just want to see, like, whose stuff is sitting around. Do they know it's sitting around? You know, do they care?
There was a thing they did, I think, with CM Punk, probably about 6 years ago now, it might have been, where he got to go to the warehouse and he was just hanging out in the warehouse and they photographed the whole thing where he was walking around looking at the stuff that was in there. And you had the giant SmackDown fist in there, the old SmackDown fist. That was one of the things. And they also had like every casket that the Undertaker has ever used in any of the casket matches or whatever. Like, you even had the one, I think, that burned at Royal Rumble 98. You had the one where The Rock was put in it and Triple H smashed it with a sledgehammer. That was in there. So, yeah, they just had a lot of weird stuff just sitting in some warehouse somewhere in, like, Connecticut.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, now, God rest his soul. So somebody else, or maybe it might have been CM Punk, but somebody else did a walkthrough or something, and they saw the Road Warriors shoulder pads. And somebody contacted Animal because he told this story. And he didn't even know where they were. And he contacted whoever and told them, Vince didn't buy those. I made those. So that is my property, and I want it back. And they did put up a fight, and they sent it back to Joe. And, again, it just makes me think how much other stuff, you know, might be there that people have, you know, said, man, I wonder what happened to that. And it's sitting in a warehouse in a box.
I wonder if
right.
you know, Snake's original snake is there, still alive, slithering out in the warehouse.
Damien might be. Again, who knows? Again, this warehouse is huge. But my thing is, what's the point? And, I mean, I get it. It's yours. You paid for it. Okay, Vince, great. But if you're not utilizing the stuff, it's just, again, it's like, I'm sure at some point you guys have at least seen a clip of Hoarders. And that's all it is. It's like, dude, what are you really doing with the Undertaker's caskets at this point?
Here's like, what you could do with some of this stuff, though. Here's what you could do with some of this stuff. If you ever were to make a physical Hall of Fame, like, building, you could put all of this stuff in that building and have
you
it on display.
Or they really enjoy revenue. They really enjoy revenue. Sell it.
Sell it, or you charge people to go to this Hall of Fame building to see all this stuff, and that you can make money off of it.
And I like that idea. I mean, because here's the thing, and I really would not want WWE to do it, but I honestly think there needs to be a physical pro wrestling Hall of Fame. You know, people, like, I'm a big football person. One day I want to go to Canton. I want to walk through the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But as a wrestling fan, we have nothing. There's no physical place where we can go and say, I want to go see this. This is the only place that has that. I mean, you could go to Mania. Of course, they've got that little Hall of Fame, and yes, you can see Andre's boots and Randy's glasses or whatever. But after Mania, that stuff is put away again till next year. And it's like, what about us poor people like me that can't afford to go to Mania that would like to, you know, say, man, I got some vacation time. How about I take a trip up to this Hall of Fame and walk around and see what's in there, and, you know, and not just WWE people, but people. That's why I'm saying it really needs to be a pro wrestling Hall of Fame somewhere where people can travel and pay homage to a lot of people that should be in a Hall of Fame, you know, but that's just me. But
well, maybe you might get that. The forbidden door is hanging on its hinges. So maybe one day we will get everybody together and there will be a proper Hall of Fame. And Red, I know you're going to Canton when TB12 retires. Let's not pretend for a minute that you're not making that ride on that day to listen to that speech. I know
please.
That's coming.
That's a holiday. That's a holiday. And I think the only thing that could probably stop me is pretty much nothing. Like, except for death. You know,
if you die before it happens, that'll stop you. But that's not going to happen.
What,
also,
man, please, somebody better take my ashes and as he gives his speech, stow my ashes in the air. Somebody. You know.
I will do that for you. I vow myself if that happens, I'm taking those ashes to Canton. And also,
don't rush that, though. Don't rush that.
I'm not rushing it. And to Swink's point about that big warehouse where everything is and the big fist is, I'm hoping that there's somebody there that's a caretaker that feeds the hose from the hose tray every now and again.
Well, I think Godfather kind of took those with him. You know, he probably has them working every night, 7 nights a week.
Way to sell that, Red. Way to sell that, K-Fabe.
But here's the crazy part, though. Did anybody ever pay attention? Some of those girls were not attractive. I'm just saying.
Well, that's, I mean, you're keeping authenticity with hookers because sometimes hookers are attractive. This is true. This is
no,
so
dude, dude, let's be honest. You know, every now and then, you know, it'd be a group of five, and it'd be that one that just like, no, I'm not buying her. No, I'm not. That's somebody's cousin, and she asked, could she be part of the show? And they just told her to wear a real slutty outfit, and she bought a dress from the Five and Dime and put on some heels. And they were like, okay, just go out. All you have to do is just go out. That's it. But,
hey, listen,
you know.
They're always, you always have to have the opportunity for the discount hooker. Discount prostitution. When you can't afford the best, sometimes you gotta you gotta have the opportunity to pay the least.
No, no,
right,
no. Do not drag him into this. No, he is a man. He would not know anything about that. Do not put him into this. Okay.
I was waiting for the rest
now
to chime in on the whole trade. He knows.
Unlike me. Unlike me, I've had my horrible moments in life, so, you know, I understand what $5 can get and not get, so.
Hey, Swink, now
well,
since Fred's here, let's finish up on Fastlane and let's move into AEW Dynamite, because I know that C-Red loves him some AEW Dynamite, and I'd be interested to hear his thoughts.
All right, so to recap real quick with WWE, because I have like two more things.
Okay.
I have nothing else on Fastlane except I was disappointed we didn't get the Braun Strowman and Shane McMahon slime match. I want my slime, damn it. But also, the Thunderdome is moving after WrestleMania on April the 12th, I believe it is. They are moving out of Tropicana Field in Tampa Bay, or actually St. Pete. They're moving to the Youngling Center in Tampa, home of the University of South Florida Bulls basketball team. So Thunderdome is moving. And
that
makes sense. I mean, that makes sense because they have to get out of Tropicana Field because the Rays are going to be playing baseball here very soon.
Oh,
so
okay.
They kind of have to move out of there, so that is where they're moving the Thunderdome, is the Youngling Center in Tampa, Florida.
Thunderdome on the move. Good stuff. Swink, where are you at on AEW Dynamite from yesterday evening?
All right, so you just want me to give you my thoughts on the show? Is that what we're asking here?
Well, I mean, I want you to start your segment on AEW Dynamite because I know Red will have 1,001 thoughts, and we are already halfway through this program.
All right, so AEW Dynamite, of course, last night in their home, Daily's Place in Jacksonville. So the show started off hot, as Dynamite tends to do. They always try to have a good match to start the show, a hot match to start the show, to grab everybody's attention, especially with that other show on across the dial. So they always try to have some kind of match to keep you invested so you don't change the channel or even think about changing the channel. So they started off hot with the AEW World Champion of all people, Kenny Omega, wrestling in the opener in this non-title match against Matt Sydal. Now, the stipulation here was if Sydal were able to win this match, he would get a future title shot against Kenny Omega, but he would have to win this match. I believe this is the first time these two have ever wrestled each other one-on-one. Now, they've no doubt crossed paths in other promotions because Sydal and Omega were both on the New Japan roster at one point together, and they probably worked some PWG shows together and maybe even Ring of Honor. I don't know for sure. But this, as far as I know, was the first ever one-on-one match between these two. And I thought it was pretty damn good. You know, Sydal has always been a great wrestler. Omega, of course, is one of the best wrestlers right now. And this was just a great back and forth match between these two. It didn't go too long. It was only 11 and a half minutes, but it was still an action packed 11 and a half minutes. Some innovative offense from both of these guys in this match. I really liked the counters that Seidel had for the one-winged angel. But eventually Omega hits the move, puts him away. And that is one of the most protected finishers right now in wrestling is the one-winged angel. No one on this side of the planet has been able to kick out of that move. So a well-protected finisher is the one-winged angel. And Omega beats Seidel in this exciting opening match.
That was
your cue.
I mean, if you're gonna start a show off and you want to grab attention, this is the perfect match to do it. You know, sometimes I'm prone to fast forwarding through things just to kind of get to the end to get out of the next thing, because I'm usually watching at a late hour. I watched this whole thing through. I thought this was some of the best wrestling I'd seen in a while, and I was inspired to watch it because of the promo that Don and Kenny cut on Impact. I think Swink was right. One of the best promos I've seen, and it really kind of made me appreciate what Callis and Kenny have together more than I had to this point. And I enjoyed listening to Shivani and JR rip on Don Callis, and Don Callis not even acknowledge it as it was happening in live time. Great way to start the show. Red, how can a wrestler be better than Kenny Omega at this point? I just don't think there is one.
Here's my thing. I'm a huge Matt Sydal fan. So you have to understand, I was watching Matt Sydal when he was with IWA Mid-South, just as I watched AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Eddie Kingston, just to name a few. So when these guys were where I'm at, on the grind, I knew Matt was something special. I love the match. I agree everything what Swink said. 11 and a half minutes of pure wrestling. They wrestled. And every move meant something. Counter meant something. I did not like the post after the match, post-match. Only for the simple fact I am tired of, here's my thing, and maybe I might be in the minority. The WWE has killed the Bullet Club for me. They brought in Balor. They had AJ. They had the Good Brothers. And it didn't happen. And while I understand it was still going on in Japan, still, to me, it was like, this is the opportunity. Run with it. Oh, you didn't? Okay, never mind. I couldn't care less. So now, when AEW started, I swore we were going to get the Bullet Club again. And it didn't happen. So I'm to the point now where I could care less, you know. I really couldn't. I think the only thing that post-match did for me was made me love Eddie Kingston and John's promo more, because they were telling the truth and I felt the way Eddie was. So, but wrestling wise, I love the match. Kenny Omega, I like the guy. I love his wrestling. Don't get me wrong. He's just, I don't know. I mean, everybody loved him as a heel. especially in Japan, I'm just down the middle. Like, I could take him or leave him. That's just me. And I guess maybe that's because, again, I'm just more attached to guys that I've seen on the grind, that I know guys that have sweat, and I've watched sweat and bleed and live this business, I mean, for years. So not saying he didn't, but we didn't get Kenny Omega in Chicago. You know what I'm saying? You know, so it, you know, it's not somebody that I'm going to be like, oh, I really love this guy. No. It's like, it's Kenny Omega.
So backstage, Silver and Dark Order. But go ahead.
Go ahead.
The backstage, Silver and Dark Order are talking to Marvez about being ready. They're going to show us how ready he is. And Silver dodges some coffin drops to show how he's ready. And then he turns towards Paige, who asks if he's nervous. He says he's not nervous, that he's hungry. And Paige tells Silver he will be proud either way, or Dark Order will be proud either way. That leads to Hangman Page beating Cesar Bononi in a short match here. I think it was only 2 minutes. It was fine for a squash match, I suppose, but Cesar Bononi is just not good. He's one of these WWE Performance Center guys, and it shows. I don't really have anything else to add on that whole thing.
How about I literally went to the bathroom and came back, the match was over.
Moving right along.
Archer cut a promo on Sting, and he was holding his bat. So clearly they're building up this this Archer and Sting match. And he's talking about how he respects Sting, but I think the idea he was trying to get across here is he doesn't like Sting coming in and taking what he perceived to be his time on the show all the time. So that's why he has basically challenged Sting to a match here.
I like
him. I agree. I like him personally, but they built him up to be this big, devastating machine. And, you know, and it's like now he's worried about Sting. Like, really? Like, that's the one person you're upset at out of everybody in the company? Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I'm not biting. I'm just not. And I guess, again, for me, him holding the bat, it's like, dude, you could have went to any sporting goods store and bought that bat. Like, I'm supposed to believe that you went back to the warehouse, you found the bat, and now you have – no, I'm not buying it, so no. And if you notice, there was no Jake in the promo.
Yeah.
And to me, when Lance – before even Lance debuted – for Jake to be the mouthpiece, you wanted to listen about who he was bringing in. Then they announced it, and he was still the mouthpiece. And now it's less and less Jake. And it's like, well, are you phasing him out? You know, because to me, you know, what's the point? You know, a good manager, that's your job. You're the mouthpiece of whoever you're managing. Let them back up whatever they need to do in the ring. Your job is to get them over or get them more heat by you talking. So with Jake not even being in the promo, I honestly feel like they're trying to now phase Jake out.
You may be right about that, although, you know, he kind of comes and goes from time to time. I find – here's the thing about Jake Roberts. I find that whenever they do the pre-tape promos with him, they're pretty good. But when he's on the live microphone, you get stuff like him calling people weenies and asking about hot dogs or something. I don't know what he was talking about like a week ago or whatever it was. So I like the pre-tape stuff with Jake, and I think they should stick with that, but don't give him a live microphone anymore. I don't think that he can really do that anymore. But I do think they're giving Archer more promo time, and Archer is actually not that bad of a talker, to be honest with you. So it kind of begs the question, why did you even give a manager then if he's perfectly capable of talking for himself?
I agree.
I just,
you know.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think it was more of a, hey, Vince, look what we did, you know. And I really, that's the one hole I pray to God AEW doesn't consistently goes down, you know. As much as I like Zack Ryder, Matt Cardona, you know, was anybody really surprised when he showed up on AEW? Like,
no, but here's the thing that they did with him. They didn't actually give him a contract. It wasn't like Matt Cardona is All Elite. It was only a five, I think it was only like five shows that he did. It was like a five show deal. He came in and then he left. It was basically like, hey, it's a tryout here. If after five shows, if we like you enough, we'll sign you. But I guess they just were like, okay, and they moved on from him. So I think that's kind of something that they might do with other people. But, yeah, the example of Cardona was just like that was a five-show deal. He's already moved on, and he's an Impact guy now.
And you know what I thought about? Was there a trade that we didn't know about? We'll give you Matt Cardona. You send us Ethan Page.
Ethan Page's contract with Impact was up, and there was talk about him going to one of the big two, you know, WWE or AEW. And I always thought that he was going to choose AEW over at WWE because he's got ties with Cody. He's good friends with Cody Rhodes, and it only made sense for him to go there. And he talked about his decision, and he feels like he has more creative freedom in AEW that he wouldn't have in WWE. And I think a thing with Ethan Page is like he stays in one place for an X amount of time, and then he gets upset with something. Like, he was in Evolve for a while. He got upset with Gabe, and he left there. You know, he was in Impact here, and we see that he's left there. And so it feels like if he were to go to WWE, how long would that actually last? Like, so with AEW, it feels like he's given more creative freedom, like he said in his interview.
Okay. Well, I can understand him being upset at Gabe. He's not the first person. And I'm speaking that from personal experience.
I've heard about Gabe, but we got a video package after this.
You know, I can pretty much break the fourth wall. Gabe insulted the Soul Touches. He told us he wanted us on Evolve when they were first starting, and we were honored, and we were ready to jump at the chance. And he told us he would pay us $20 a piece. That's it. $20. And even I was insulted. Like, dude, you run on the East Coast. And we're coming from Chicago. No trains, no hotel, Nothing, huh? Just $20. So between the four of us, $80. That's it. So as you can see, we never made it to Evolve. And that was one decision I didn't regret. Never will I can I say whore? I guess so. I just said it. Never will I whore myself out. You know, if I think it's an opportunity, I will take advantage of it. But I'm not about to travel hundreds and hundreds of miles for $20. I won't even travel three blocks if somebody's putting on the show, not for $20. Nah. So I have no regrets. But Gabe can kiss my woohoo. All right. Next match.
We got a video package from last week's main event with Thunder Rose's promo about her win. They showed this on like an exclusive video they put on social media already of this Thunder Rosa promo, but I'm glad they showed it here on Dynamite for people who don't frequent the social media of AEW all the time. But I'm glad they actually put this on the show because it was a really good promo from Thunder Rosa. And then after that, we got Tony Schiavone, that is, in his live promo with Britt. And this was it was a really good promo here from Britt, establishing herself again as a heel, because her performance last week could have been perceived as maybe her becoming a baby face. But here she reestablished herself as a heel with the promo. I really like how she ripped on Mick Foley. She said, "Thanks for the thumbs up, but it took you 20 years to become a hardcore legend, and it only took me one night." I thought that was a great line there by Britt. And Britt says Khan is looking for every has-been when the biggest legend is standing right here under his nose, referring to herself. She says AEW comes second to the most the letters AEW, that is, comes second to the most epic three in all professional wrestling, DMD. And that was how she ended her promo. So, yeah, I thought the Thunder Rosa video was nice. The Britt promo was real good, one of the best, if not the best promo on the show.
Britt continues to acclaim herself as perhaps the best female worker in the business right now. And there are great ones, and I'm taking nothing away from any of them. I mean, Sasha Banks is at the top of her game right now. When Becky was here, there was nobody better. Charlotte Flair, it speaks for herself. Thunder Rosa, in her own right, is a darn entertaining personality. But I think Britt right now has them all beat, and the fact that they're just not – I mean, she had that epic match. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about that. They've had her under contract since almost day one, and they haven't really done enough with her, I don't think. And I'm not necessarily talking about just the title picture. I mean, she is and should be a feature player on Dynamite every week, and they should make big things happen because she is a big-time player. And, man, did she work her ass off in that match last week. I mean, that thumbtack gimmick, you've seen it before many times, but, my God, you don't see women wrestlers – take it to that extreme, at least in this country. And that was unbelievable. You know, she's at the top right now, and I really feel like if they don't do more with her, you're really wasting a tremendous opportunity because she is in the light right now, and you need to capitalize on that. Red, your thoughts?
I love the promo. As Slink already alluded to, especially the whole Mick Foley thing. I'm happy that she kept her heel persona. I don't know if either of you gentlemen were at WrestleMania 13. I was there, and the night – Austin and Brett fought. And I've never witnessed a baby walk in to a building, to the ring, a heel walk into the ring, and magically, somewhere along the way, the roles got reversed during the match. And I was there, and to watch how everybody that booed Austin when he came out was now cheering for him, saying, like, please. Okay, they're already capitalizing on the shirt. That picture is all over social media. I'm praying that they don't do the same. And to me, they didn't. But and I'm glad they didn't, because to me, there was only one Austin. Let Austin be the enigma that he is. But
well, here's the
thing. I love the promo.
Here's the thing. It could be the start of an eventual face turn for her. I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight or anything, but it could be the start down somewhere down the line, because you have to think eventually they're going to turn her baby face at some point.
Well, we all do that, Sweet. You really do. Being a baby is such hard work.
Well, they tried it with her at first when she came in, and it was a miserable failure. And then when they decided to turn her heel, that's when she actually developed some kind of persona. I mean, she has to be one of the most improved wrestlers that I've seen since she started in the company, because I didn't think very much of Britt Baker, for being honest, when she first signed with the company. I was just like, oh, Britt Baker, yeah, whatever. And, you know, I don't know where this character came from, but she's really turned a corner for me as a performer, not just in the ring, but as a performer all around. She's really found something here.
And I agree, because I was the same way. I couldn't care less about the chick.
Right.
I really didn't care about her. And I think the only thing that might have made me care, and I mean very little, but yeah, that she was, you know, a dentist. You know, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. You know, that's what you honestly did, you know. And but it was like they kept running it into the ground. And it was like,
yeah, it was
oh
a meme.
My God.
Yeah, it was a meme
and,
for a while.
Right. And I mean, now, I mean, like, I want to see her get her head knocked off. And if I feel that way about you, then you've done your job. That's
right.
How I feel. If I want to see you, I mean, like, I was so happy with and impressed with that match, that those two ladies, Thunder Rosa and Britt, like, they went out there, and I don't know if anybody else on here felt this way. I didn't look at it as two women wrestling. I looked at it as two wrestlers wrestling.
Right.
And I thought they just put on one hell of a match. And at some point, I didn't even look at it as, oh, wow, these are two females. And no, I was just like, damn, this is one hell of a match. Because honestly, I was going to turn away. I honestly was going to turn away. When the main event came on, I was like, do I really want to watch this? This is going to be some garbage. And I'm going to be upset that I just spent the last 20 minutes watching this. And it went instantly from me feeling that way to like, damn, it's 9 o'clock already? Damn. So,
well,
I mean, again, kudos to them, but Britt is way better than as a heel. And I mean, you know, unfortunately in this business, you know, at some point, you know, unless your Hogan, and eventually he did it, or Cena, which he never did it. Well, he started heel, so I guess so.
Or Marche.
Or who?
Marche.
Have you not seen us as heels?
I am.
Oh, we're,
nowadays,
we're hilarious as heels.
Marche's never going back.
We love being heels. Here's the funny part. If we're heels, you honestly get the true side of Jazz, Marche, Willie. But if you just put Marche and Jazz together as themselves, as heels, oh, it makes for the best. Just the commentary alone makes for the best. Because the things that they say out of their mouths is, oh, my God. Like, and your heels. And can't nobody say anything about it. So it's like, oh, okay. So I know it's hard to believe, you know, Marche is a heel, you know, especially with that face, you know. But, you know, I love him as I prefer him as a heel than I do a baby. But he shouldn't be so young looking, and I hate him for it.
Next. What's next?
So Christian was backstage with the Varsity Blondes and Dante Martin, and then Kaz comes up to say hello to Christian as they are old friends. He talks about Christian's shirt. He points out something that I thought was a good line here. He was like, when does the work part begin for you there, Christian? And so basically what happens is we get a challenge for a match. It's going to be Kaz and Christian. This kind of came off a little awkward to me, the exchange between Kaz and Christian. This wasn't the best promo on the show. So, yeah, that's kind of how I felt about that segment.
I too, felt it wasn't as crisp as it could have been. You know, Christian and Kazarian are both very good on the mic, and it felt a little forced. But I'm sure the match is going to be real good because both these guys can work their ass off. So I'll look forward to the product in the ring, but it's not off to a blazing start. Red?
Was Christopher Daniels in this segment?
He was not.
He was not.
Okay, then next.
FTR and Sean Spears, the Pinnacle, they defeated the Varsity Blondes and Dante Martin in about, what was the time on this one? 6:24. After the match is over, Wardlow drops Pillman off the top with that knee strike that he uses as a finish. Wardlow then tosses Pillman's carcass over the ropes to his group as MJF smiles. Tony Schiavone enters the ring seemingly for an interview. Cash grabs the mic. He says the Pinnacle is not just the name of a group. It's his family. He doesn't have a wife and kid waiting for him at home, but he has them. He will live and die for every single one of them. Dax tells Tony to hold the mic. He says Santana and Ortiz have got a lot of guys fooled. They ain't a grain of salt in their body. I didn't understand that term, but okay. Says this isn't SNL nor a rom-com. This is professional wrestling. If they want to find where they stand in the world of professional wrestling, you come to AEW and ask for the Pinnacle. MJF has a message for Jericho. He figured he'd come here and break the walls down, but instead of he's breaking whatever chair he decides to, he figured that Jericho would come and break the walls down. But instead, Jericho is breaking whatever chair he decides to sit on. So he basically was calling Jericho fat. He challenges Inner Circle to come out right now. He says, oh, no, they can't come out because they're terrified. And Tony brings up, you know they're not terrified. You know that they're injured. And MJF gets in his face and wonders if there's something he wants to say to Tony wants to say to MJF. But Wardlow puts his hand on Tony's shoulder, and Tony doesn't say anything. MJF has a gift next week for all the future gold that they will hold. When you're in the Pinnacle, you're always on top. That was the post-match promo there.
Uh,
Okay. Was it me? And again, sometimes I overanalyze things too much. I really do. After the match, right?
Right.
You would think, and it's me. I understand they're outnumbered, but I'm still trying to fight to get in the ring to save my partner. You know, now whether that means I get my head handed to me or not, you know, but I'm a fight. And it just looked like the babies had no fight. Like, they were like, okay, we're just going to lay here. And we're going to let Pillman get killed and tossed out. And then we're going to just tuck our tail and crawl to the back. And I just didn't like that. I understand the numbers. I understand what they're trying to do with Pinnacle and set up this whole Pinnacle versus Inner Circle thing, which I'll be happy when that is over with. The rumor I heard is Tia Trinidad will be eventually coming in to manage LAX or whatever they call themselves, or
Proud and Powerful.
Jericho is fat. Let's not ignore that fact. And I mean, still, dude, I mean, let's be honest. It's not like he looks like me in the ring, you know. Jericho is still in great shape. And again, I understand. Here's my issue right now with the one issue I have with AEW. All these damn factions. It's like, again, oh, we'll put a bunch of guys together. Faction. Oh, we got a bunch of guys over here we just got. Faction. And then the faction lasts for maybe a month, maybe a little bit more if they get over, and then it's done and it's over with. And it's like, dude, that's, and I guess maybe that's why I don't want the Bullet Club to, quote unquote, reunite. Because, again, then it's just another faction. And to me, a faction should mean something. You know, it's almost like, remember, what was it, in the 90s, or I should say 2000s, during the Attitude Era, when we had Lost for Week was, the Nation of Domination, the Heart Foundation. We had all these damn DX. You just had, and it was like, okay.
That was
outside.
That was 1997.
Okay. Outside of a Survivor Series type style match, why should I care? I just think when you have too many factions, unless you're just, like, disbanding people, like, there's no real issue of having, like, four and five factions.
Here's why they do it. Here's where I think they actually got this idea from. In New Japan Pro Wrestling, basically everybody is hooked up to some kind of group, some kind of faction. And I believe this is kind of where they gleaned the idea off of, where you have all these different groups. But the thing is, a lot of those groups stay together for a really long time. For example, Bullet Club is still there in New Japan Pro Wrestling. It has never broken up. The group that Okada is the leader of, called Chaos, they've been around since Nakamura was there. That tells you how long that's been a group. So, they probably got the idea. I will have no doubt that they got the idea from New Japan, because obviously Cody, Kenny, the Bucks, Hangman, they all worked there before AEW. So, and Tony Khan is a wrestling fan obviously, and I have no doubt he was watching New Japan, probably still does. So that's where they got this whole faction idea from, I think.
It's a solid theory. We got about.
I mean, I like it, but again, just again, me personally, and I think the match that I really want to talk about is next. But my big issue with that whole thing was, again, just the babies at the end. There was no fight. You know, it was just like, oh, let Pillman die and go to the slaughter. And, you know, once he got tossed out, it was like, that's it. You know, again, I'm going down swinging and then carrying me out. But that's me. Next.
All right. We got all about right. 14 minutes before we got to talk to Gina and Kayvon, because if we don't do that, the Macho Ghost will kill us all next week, and I'm not about to get that kind of punishment. Swink, next match.
All right, so real quick, we got a promo from Team Taz. They said everything is fine, although Cage doesn't look like everything is fine, so that story continues there. Then we had QT and Cody. QT cuts a promo. His wife is there. Cody walks out with his arm in the sling, and we get a match made for next week. It's going to be an exhibition match between Cody and QT with Arn Anderson as the referee. And someone pointed this out somewhere else and said that this is kind of reminiscent of the story from way back in the day between Bruno Sammartino and Larry Zbyszko, where they had the exhibition match, and it was like the start of Zbyszko turning on Sammartino and their feud. So obviously we know we're getting a heel turn from QT Marshall here. I mean, that's obviously happening. I mean, there might as well be a giant neon sign above his head that says heel turn imminent, because we all know that's happening. So I assume next week is when we finally get the turn.
I had fallen asleep at this point, so continue.
Mm.
Now we have the trios match, a match I was looking forward to. We had the Lucha Bros and Laredo Kid, and some Young Bucks and Brandon Cutler. I thought this was a great match. I really enjoyed it. It was real fun, fast-paced, exciting, 12 minutes, 30 seconds. You know, I liked the finish. I like the match. I would like to see more Laredo Kid in AEW. You know, he's a member of the AAA roster, and they have a working relationship with them, and I really think they need to feature more of their guys on AEW. But after the match is over, you had Kenny Omega come out to the ring. He's telling the Young Bucks he didn't choose WWE. He didn't even choose AEW. He chose the Young Bucks and the vision that they created to make the best wrestling promotion on the planet. And rather than sit with the cool kids, they choose Brandon Cutler. And Omega chooses them, and they never choose Omega back. And he says he will give them one more chance to toss it up. And he holds up the two sweet. The Young Bucks walk out on him after this. But this is all after Omega put the boots to Laredo Kid and attacked him for seemingly no reason. And so that was kind of why the Young Bucks were just like, you know what? No, we're done. And they walk away. And so Omega is still talking, and he walks into a super kick from Penta and Rey. And then the Luchadors hit the the package pile driver double stomp combo on Omega. And Omega has a bloody mouth after this. And Gallows and Anderson come sauntering out, and they hold him up, and he puts up the thumbs up as they carry him out.
I love this.
So that's my thing. Go ahead, Red. This is your favorite match. Take it away.
Dude, it had to be. Oh, my God. To me, and maybe I'm wrong, I mean, maybe you guys like Pac, But to me, this is really the death triangle. To me, I felt like they were a cohesive unit. I felt like these were three guys that worked well together. We already know Phoenix and Penta. We already know. But I think with the kid in there, it just felt so organic. And I bought into the whole match. I couldn't say that with the Bucks and their partner. I just couldn't. I felt like this was, you know, you don't have a match tonight? You'll be their partner. You know.
Well, Cutler is like best match, friends with the Young Bucks.
No, I mean, just as far to me, as far as look, style, and the way they work. You know what I'm saying?
Hmm.
Like, and I'm not expecting him to come out, you know, looking Rockers 90-esque. But I just felt that, you know, the other team looked and felt like a trio.
Right.
You know.
And they've teamed before in the company because when Kenny came out and cut his promo, he says, you remember Fyter Fest? And he was talking about the event from 2019 where it was Kenny and the Bucks against Laredo Kid and the Lucha Bros. That was the last time we saw Laredo Kid in AEW. That was almost 2 years ago. So he's back here. And he was brought in as a last-minute replacement for Pac because Pac was supposed to be in this match, but he injured his ankle. And so they had to bring in Laredo Kid to be his partner. Or to be the Lucha Bros partner. And obviously they've had experience working together before and it shows. But I am a fan of Pac. I like the Death Triangle group. I mean, you could add Laredo Kid to the group, but then it wouldn't be a triangle anymore. It would have to be Death Square.
Yeah. But I love this match. And again, it was just about, again, the pure wrestling. Steve, go ahead.
I will enjoy anything Ray Phoenix does. I think he and Kenny Omega are the straws that stir the drink at AEW from a talent standpoint. So although I fell asleep and did not see the outcome of the match, I'm sure it was great because there's very, very few things that Ray Phoenix does that I don't enjoy. Slink, let's move on next. What's up next?
All right, so after all of that, we got the Eddie and Moxley promo. I think C-Red already touched on that. They're not into the Bullet Club melodrama. I did like how Kingston was trying to stand up with the injured whatever, because he's even like, yeah, you're right. It's an injured something. I really like this promo here with Moxley and Eddie. Just a really good combination of guys. They work well together. The promos are always fun. I mean, how can you not like Eddie Kingston? And so then you got Nyla Rose and Tay Conti's match. And, you know, Tay
Thank
is
God
one of those other people.
Conti. Thank God for Tay Conti.
Sorry, Ty Conti. It's Ty, not Tay. I always
thank
say
God
Tay.
Whether she's Tay or Ty, potato, potato, thank God for her.
Ty wins this match, surprisingly, to some people, because Nyla is a former champion. So Ty gets a big win here. Good for her. She's been building up a lot of momentum. And she is definitely one of the most improved wrestlers since she left the WWE, because she was a performance center trainee. And it shows you just how much she learned outside of that company, because let's be honest, she wasn't very good in WWE. So I don't know who's been training her since she left there and joined AEW. I don't know if it's been Dusty, or not Dusty. I don't know if it's been Dustin. I don't know if it's been Cody. I don't know if it's been QT. I don't know who's been working with her, but she has definitely improved exponentially since she left the WWE. But after the match is over, Hikaru Shida makes a save for Tai. And then Bunny comes out with her own kendo stick. And we get a setup for next week where it's going to be Bunny, a.k.a. Allie, and Nyla Rose against Tai Conti and Hikaru Shida.
I can't stand Nyla Rose. I think her much like I think of Nia Jax. I don't feel that they are very effective and safe workers. And Tai Conti worked her ass off in that match, deserved the win. I'll look forward to the match next week simply because Cheetah and Tai together should be a pretty magical tag team. But, you know, Nyla does nothing for me. Red?
You just got on my bad side.
Here we go.
So, hey,
I
love
I'm interested how
Nyla
you're
going to
defend this position because Nyla, Nia,
no.
you pick. They can't wrestle.
Dude, I don't have to look. I don't care if she can wrestle. She can wrestle me. I'm just saying. So,
all right, well, I'll give you that.
We'll deal with that. Next.
All right, so then we had a, what did we have? A Scorpio Sky promo again. He's building up his match on Elevation next week. I'm not into Scorpio Sky. Next, we had the main event of the show, finally, for the TNT Championship, Darby Allin defending the title against John Silver. At one point, Sting appears in the middle of this match to even the odds a bit because Dark Order is out there. He felt like they were helping Silver a little too much in this match, so Sting was there to have them disperse, basically. And they are gone from that point on. And the match ends in 13 minutes and 46 seconds after Darby gets a pinning combination on Silver after the code red. And I thought this was a pretty good main event, actually. You know, John Silver actually was serious here. He didn't play up the comedy aspects of his character too much in this match. He was a much more serious wrestler here, which I appreciated. And Silver's always been a good wrestler. It's just I find his character in AEW annoying. So I'm glad he didn't play up the character too much in this match and was much more focused here on trying to actually win this match and win the title. And, you know, I thought this was a good defense for Darby. After the match is over, Matt Hardy attacks as this Private Party. Here comes Tai. Here comes Bunny. So we've got a big old melee that ends the show.
Red, you love a good melee.
Yeah, I love a good melee. And let me just say this, and I'm going to go. I love the match. Wasn't too crazy about the ending, but not excited about where the Dark Order is going, but that's just me, you know. But that's maybe because John is no longer with us. Hey, guys. Thank you guys for having me. Clearly it is past my time because I am now in trouble. But I thank you guys for having me on tonight. Appreciate you guys.
Hey, thanks for coming on, Red. Thanks for talking wrestling with us. Anytime you add something to a conversation, it just makes that better. I know the Macho Ghost will appreciate the fact that you came in and did some work on his behalf. It's great to have you, and I hope you come back again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. That is C-Red, the urban sensation. You can catch him at CCW Grapple Masters on June 12th. He's also going to be doing C3 Wrestling also on June 12th. So find where you can get tickets for these events and catch C-Red live always a man that's fun to watch, and I get to watch a lot of him. Plus, don't miss the Power Hour with me and C-Red Tuesday nights on the Johnners Podcast Network. As fun as we can make it, we do our best. Swink, can we take a couple of calls before we wrap this package?
Yeah, that's fine. I did have some ROH and NWA stuff to get to, but I don't know if we're going to.
Listen, we're going to keep these calls to a minimum tonight because I want to get to the NWA. I want to get to the ROH, and I have to do a little CSW as well. So we're going to get these two phone calls on in honor of the Macho Ghost. So, Martez, are you still there, or are you on autopilot?
Yes, I'm here.
Do we have anybody still listening?
Cooking out popcorn.
Yeah, we have Gina and Kayvon.
Let's do Gina first, and then we'll do Kayvon, and then we'll wrap the package with NWA and Ring of Honor. Gina, are you there?
Yes, how are you, Steve?
I'm doing just fine. Gina, we got to make it quick tonight because we're up against the clock. The Macho Ghost is not here tonight. I know you want to say some nice things about him.
Well, I hope he's feeling okay. And I'll just have to save my PWX matches until he comes back.
Well, hopefully, if all goes well, he will be 100% ready to return next week. Gina, I talked to TJ. I believe he got what you sent him. And he told me to wish you well.
Awesome. I'm hoping that I'll be able to come to the show, hopefully, in Franklin Park is the next week.
Yep, April 16th, Franklin Park. CSW returns to their home base. So we're excited about that.
Yeah, hopefully I can make it.
So, Gina, what do you got for us tonight? What do you want to say before we have to move on to Kayvon? I didn't want to not take your call, but with our guest, the show ran a little long tonight, and I'm bound and determined to end this at 10.
I just want to tell you again how much I appreciate you, Montego, Meta, TJ, Steve, how Steve, you.
We appreciate you too, certainly. And, you know, I know the Macho Ghost will appreciate your well wishes and such. And do you have any, before we let you go, do you have any words of wisdom for our ghost as he helps our friend Charlie heal?
Just be there for him. Let him talk. Just give him
hugs. Hey, that's great. That comes right from the heart, and I know it's going to mean the world to the ghost. Gina, we're going to save a seat for you ringside so you can watch CSW, hopefully. We hope you get to come out to Franklin Park. We missed you, and we look forward to seeing you real soon. And thanks for hanging on so long on the phone to get your chance to talk. We appreciate you listening and supporting our show.
I will talk to you next Thursday.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Say it again.
I said I'll talk to you next Thursday.
Yes, you will. The ghost will be back, and I'm sure he will have a lot to ask you. And we'll talk about PWX. Gina, you have a good night, okay? All right, that was Superfan Gina wishing the Macho Ghost well as he's not here tonight. He's consoling our friend Charlie. We wish them both the best. And, Martez, let's bring on the big dog. We'll hear what he has to say briefly before we close this show out with NWA Ring of Honor talk via the professor. Is the head of the table, the man that can't break handcuffs, the big dog. Are you here, Kayvon?
I am here.
Kayvon, I did not want to miss you tonight, but we have to make this short because I got to let Swink finish or he's going to sue me for breach of contract.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. I'm going to make this quick, brief, and I'm going to get out your way.
And say something nice to the Macho Ghost because we all miss him.
Oh, well, in that case, I'm going to say this off the end first. Macho Ghost, I hope you get well. And I have a surprise for you come next week. Martez, do not play that audio clip until the ghost get back. That'll be his little gift when he gets back.
And he loves gifts.
Oh, yeah.
What's on your mind,
Kayvon? Now, the only thing I wanted to say. Huh?
What's on your mind, Kayvon? Go for it.
So what's on my mind right now is the events that happened at Fastlane. Although Roman Reigns did retain his championship belt, this is the first time I'm ever going to say this, but if they make this into a triple threat match at WrestleMania, I will be so upset.
Well, I'm gonna buy you some Kleenex because that's what's going to happen. And don't think for a minute that I didn't see the soft, dainty tap of one Roman Reigns.
See, I saw that too, but you know, sometimes, you know, Daniel Bryan is right for the first time. He said he was gonna make him tap out, and you know he did, which is ironic, but it's all right.
Need to watch SmackDown tomorrow night because Daniel Bryan's gonna throw every chair in the building into that ring. And make a statue to Roman Reigns tapping out, that's for sure.
And I can't wait.
All right, Kayvon, we're going to let you go. We appreciate you stopping by. The Ghost will be back on next week, and I'm sure he's going to have a lot to talk to you about. We're going to play your clip, and we're going to see what happened this week on SmackDown and see if the head of the table got his chair leg sawed off.
All right.
Thanks, Kayvon. We'll talk to you next week. All right, Swink. You have 20. Is it 22 minutes? You got 22 minutes. Let's wrap this package.
All right. So, NWA or ROH, where do you want to start? Because ROH has a show tomorrow night.
Let us start with NWA.
All right. So,
and you know
NWA.
Why I want to talk about.
NWA Back for the Attack was last Sunday on Fight TV pay-per-view. I watched the show in full, so I'll run it down real quick, give you my thoughts
on it after
I'm done with the pay-per-view. Then we'll talk about what happened on Power itself on Tuesday. So Slice Boogie defeated Crimson, Jack Stain, and Jordan Clearwater in the opener. This went 5 minutes 41 seconds. Tyrus defeated J.R. Kratos in 7 minutes and 27 seconds. Elijah Burke retained the television title over Tom Latimer in 10 minutes and 5 seconds due to a draw as they wrestled to the 10-minute, 5-second time limit, which I'll explain all of that in a moment. Camille defeated Thunder Rosa to become the number one contender to the NWA World Women's Championship in 14 minutes and 4 seconds. Trevor Murdoch retained the national title, defeating Chris Adonis in 8:38. Nick Aldis defeated Aaron Stevens to retain the NWA World Heavyweight Championship in 21:29. Okay, so here's what I thought about the show. Overall, I thought this was actually a good show. There was one match on this show which was terrible, and it was Tyrus versus J.R. Kratos because – within about a minute of this match starting, Tyrus was blown the fuck up. He looked awful, out of shape, blown up, and just the match was sloppy. It was bad. And, you know, why? Before this event even started, last week I questioned the decision of one Mr. William Patrick Corgan for even hiring this man. So I don't know why. After that performance, it begs the question, why did you hire this guy? Because he clearly was not ready for this spot. And, you know, it was a shitty match. And then, you know, the Burke and Latimer match was good. But here's the thing that they did with these TV title matches. If you remember, and it's been a while, from the Power days, the TV title time limit used to be 6:05. And that made sense because it goes back to the old Superstation TBS World Championship Wrestling days where the show would start at 6:05 on Saturdays, right? Now they decided to change the time limit to 10:05. Look, I get wanting to change the time limit to like 10 minutes. That's fine. But why the 5 seconds? That doesn't make any sense. So that was my issue with that match. Other than that, it was actually one of the better matches on this show. Camille and Thunder Rosa was the best match probably on this show, in my opinion. Of course, that's because, you know, I feel that Thunder Rosa is the best, one of the best women's wrestlers right now on the planet. And
Cortez, of course, would like to feel Camille.
Yes. And so Camille getting the win over here over Thunder Rosa, I feel like Thunder Rosa's days in the NWA might be coming to a close, but then again, I'm not sure about that, but it feels like this is a star on the way out of the territory doing the job on the way out. Then you had Murdoch defeat Adonis. This was a fine match. Wasn't particularly great or anything. It was average. And after the match, Adonis got his heat back after the loss. He attacked Trevor Murdoch. Then a bunch of people from the locker room came out. And one person in particular I noticed was there, and that was Marche Rocket. And I was like, wait a minute. I know that guy. I'm like, that's Marche. And it's funny. Funny that he ended up on this NWA show after I asked him about the NWA last week. It's very funny. And then Aldis and Aaron Stevens. This was about as good as it's going to get when you're dealing with a guy like Aaron Stevens. Obviously, this match was made because one of his good friends, Josephus, a.k.a. the question mark, had passed away. This entire show was a tribute to Josephus, otherwise known as Joe. And this was, again, about as good as you're going to get from Stevens. He cut a very heartfelt and serious promo before this match. Usually he does his heel shtick where he's a goofball, but here he was deadly serious. It made me think that maybe they would give him the title because of, you know, the passing of Josephus. That was not to be. Aldis retains. After the match, Aaron Stevens is holding the mask of Josephus as the question mark. Another wrestler, a bunch of the locker room comes out. I believe his wife also came out holding the Mongrovian flag that was a trademark of the question mark. And everyone throws up the hand sign, the salute to Josephus as the show goes off the air. So I thought that was very nicely done by the NWA. So overall, I thought it was an enjoyable show, except with the exception, of course, of the Tyrus match.
And that brings us to Power.
Yeah, so NWA Power returned finally. It was at the GPB Studios in Atlanta. Of course, they decided to put it behind a paywall, which I don't really appreciate. And we'll see how long that lasts, really, because the UWN tried to do the same thing, and they put out a statement like yesterday that said, we realized the paywall was a bad idea. We're going to find a way to give you these shows for free. And so we'll see how long Power behind a paywall lasts, because this was a show that was completely free on YouTube before this, and now all of a sudden they decided to put it behind a paywall. We'll see how long that lasts. But on this show, Camille defeated Alex Gracia. She pulled a Rick Rude, Alex Gracia did, as she appeared on both AEW Dark and NWA Power on the same night. Wrestled on both shows.
Wow,
so Camille
wins a
short match here in 2:42, so they keep Camille hot for her potential match against Serena Deeb. Deeb is out right now because she got a scope done, I believe, on her knee. So they're waiting for her to return. In the meantime, it looks like they're heating up Camille for her title challenge and perhaps eventual win. Then we had the NWA television title number one contendership three-way match. Fred Rosser, formerly known as Darren Young in the WWE, defeats Matt Cross and Marche Rocket.
All day?
And then Mike Perot defeats Jordan Clearwater. Good to see Mike Perot on this show. Chris Adonis and Strictly Business, the team of Nick Aldis and Tom Latimer, defeat Aaron Stevens, J.R. Kratos, and D'Angelo De Niro. Actually, no, I think he's Elijah Burke again. There you go. Defeat Elijah Burke in the six-man tag to end the show in 10:37. So that was the show. Nothing that's particularly go out of your way to see. Nothing that really does a whole lot to kind of build up any potential storylines or future pay-per-view events or whatever. But I know they had a segment with Thunder Rosa as well where she was interviewed and was interrupted by Melina, and she rejected Melina's offer to manage her again. I think they're going back down that road again. But other than that, I don't know much else there is to say about the show, but, you know, it was good to see Marche Rocket get an opportunity here on this show. I know you were excited about it. And like I said, if you can have Tyrus on the show, you can sure as hell give a shot to Marche and Rocket.
Marche and Sky Blue got a chance to do some bigger things because they're such nice people, and they're a credit to whatever locker room they're working in, and I hope they get more opportunities.
Yeah, so I would like to think this is not the last we'll see of Marche on this show, and we know Sky Blue was also there for the tapings. I don't know if she's when she will debut on the show. But I know she was not on this episode, but I'm assuming she'll be on a upcoming future episode.
And we'll look forward to that. Real quick before the Swink closes with ROH, quick recap of CSW. Would you mind?
Go ahead.
Okay, so we had the opening contest with Boy, God, my where the hell are my notes? It was a great show. The fans had a great time. We were so excited to be able to be back and be working at a live indoor venue again. We had some great matches. Sky Blue and Billy Starks went to a double, it wasn't a double count out, it was just a draw. The time limit expired, so Sky retains her title. Acid Jazz in a very entertaining match versus CJ Esparza. CJ Esparza wins the match. We had Axel Rico and Jake from wrestling. What do you think of Jake from wrestling in his khakis and everything?
I think it's a fun little play on the Jake from State Farm commercials. I do like how he's incorporated that as part of his gimmick here. And, you know, I've always liked Jake. I would like to consider Jake a friend. I don't know if he considers me one, but I would like to consider him one. And, you know, we've obviously worked together in the past. I've always enjoyed calling his matches. And I always knew the talent was there. So it's nice to see that he's got kind of like a gimmick now to go with it. Yeah, so I like it.
Yep, he and Axel Rico, who is doing wonderful things in wrestling right now, had a very entertaining match. The CNC Music Factory came out, and they beat one of my new favorite tag teams, the Neon Noise. They came out and they were hot, but the CNC Destruction, they destroyed them, and they did other things to confound the night, but that's okay. We had TJ Steele and his new partner Jake Painter for the evening, as Steve Vaz was missing in action, take a loss to Nick Cutler and Cypher in a non-title match. Well, actually, I believe TJ won the match, and then there was a beatdown afterwards. It was ugly, and everything went wrong that could possibly go wrong for yours truly as general manager that night. So my memory is blurry as I'm trying to put it out of my mind. In the big tag match, the high-stakes tag match, Brubaker, Marche, Vic Capri, Garrison Creed, lots of shenanigans in this match, lots of melee in this match. At one point, Vic Capri pile drove Nick Brubaker onto a steel chair on the concrete floor, thus injuring Brubaker. He had to get carried out. He would come back by hook or by crook. Turtle is reminding me that Cypher and Cutler won the match. Again, Turtle was my only friend. We had Marche battling Creed there for a long while, along with Capri. Capri out for wanton destruction. The match was really getting down to it. Marche was on quite a roll. It looked for a moment like he would get his title opportunity when all of a sudden Acid Jazz showed up from the back, low blowed him, and basically set him up for Garrison Creed to pin him 1-2-3. And now Garrison Creed is your number one contender. The Mercenary will fight the Filth King April 16th at the next CSW Live show in Franklin Park. So, W in a nutshell, April 16th is right around the corner. Hopefully we'll have a guest or two on this program as we build up to that show. That's all I have to say about that, Forrest Gump style. Twink, the last 8 minutes, it's go time.
So Ring of Honor's 19th anniversary show is tomorrow night. That is going to be on pay-per-view, Fight TV, and Honor Club. Honor Club, of course, is Ring of Honor's own service, streaming service you can sign up for. So those are three ways you can watch the show tomorrow night. The 19th anniversary show, a loaded card, 10 matches in all. Now, the first hour of this show will be free for everyone. So that's going to be on all the social media platforms. So you can watch the first hour of this show for free, which includes the first two matches of the show. And then the next 2 hours of the show will be of the pay-per-view event. So it is a three-hour event. Lots of matches on this card. So let's break it down here. Let's run through this. On the part of the hour one, they call it, which is the free portion of the show, you're going to have a six-man tag match for the ROH World Six-Man Tag Team titles. It is Shane Taylor Promotions, the champions, of course, Shane Taylor himself, Khan and Moses of the Soldiers of Savagery. They will be defending the titles against the Mexi Squad, the team of Bandito, Flamita, and Ray Horace. Shane Taylor Promotions on a recent episode of ROH TV defeated Mexico Squad to win these titles. So this is a rematch between these two teams as Mexico Squad look to try to get their titles back. The match they had for the titles was pretty good. I've really been enjoying the work of Shane Taylor since his return, since ROH's return, rather, from the pandemic when they've been doing these shows inside their little bubble they do in Baltimore. They probably have the biggest or probably have the best protocol of any wrestling promotion going on right now when it comes to COVID, because they have this bubble where you get tested before you even get on a plane to come to Baltimore. Then when you arrive, you are tested again, and you're only allowed to travel to and from the, where is this, the UMBC Event Center where the shows are filmed. You're only allowed to travel to and from the hotel to that arena to do the shows. And then when you're done, you leave. So that's, they basically have the best COVID protocol of any of these promotions out there right now. I just wanted to throw that out there. But, during the Ring of Honor shows that they've had during the pandemic, I think Shane Taylor has been one of the standout performers. Of course, Bandito, Flamita, and Ray Horace are all Well, more so Bandido and Flamita have always been great luchadors. And Bandido at one point was one of the hottest wrestlers on the indie scene. You know, that's kind of cooled off thanks in part to, you know, the pandemic and everything after he got signed with Ring of Honor and all that. So it's been unfortunate for him. He's lost some momentum since then, but still a very exciting wrestler to watch and a very good wrestler. So I'm looking forward to the six-man tag here. We've got a four-corner survival, as they call it in Ring of Honor. They don't call it a fatal four-way. They call it a four-corner survival. I hate when promotions use the term fatal four-way when they're not WWE. That's a WWE coined term they use. It's like when everybody calls matches, three-way matches, triple threats. That's a WWE term.
Can I interject for a moment?
Go ahead.
CSW also had a fatal four-way this past Friday night. Sabin Gage was victorious over Jax Johnson, Mateo Valentine. It was a great four-way match. And back to you, Swing.
I thought it was a five-way.
Oh, yeah, five-way. Ryan Matthews inserted himself in the match. And
see,
I
even
watch,
I know more about this show than you do.
Again, I've had some difficulties with my memory over certain aspects.
Well, I was watching the clips from Ring Film Dude. That's why I know this.
Mario Pedura is a force to be reckoned with. But
does he listen to Polish radio?
Mario Pedura.
Does he listen to Polish radio?
Maybe he does. You might be his favorite DJ. We'll call you the Kielbasa Kid.
Oh, boy.
Moving right along. Ring of Honor, go.
Okay, so
It's the two-minute warning.
Four-corner survival match, Brian Johnson versus Danhausen versus Eli Isom versus LSG. That's it for the pre-show, if you want to call it that. First hour. Then we have the main card here. We got Dalton Castle versus Josh Woods, Mark Briscoe versus Flip Gordon. Jonathan Gresham defends the Pure Championship, ROH Pure Championship, in a pure rules match against Dak Draper. If you're not familiar with that match, a pure rules match means you have three rope breaks that you can use in a match. When you run out of rope breaks, if someone puts on a submission and you're in the ropes, you cannot, the ropes do not save you. So it is to your advantage to use your rope breaks wisely. There is a time limit. If it goes to the time limit, there are three judges and they will decide who wins the match based on, performance. That's in a nutshell, the pure rules of a match. You cannot use a closed fist. If you do, you get a warning. The second time, you will be disqualified. Also, there is no outside interference. If anyone is caught interfering, they will be fired from the roster. So, yeah, emphasis on pure wrestling here, hence the name. In an unsanctioned match, it's going to be Matt Taven versus Vincent. These two former stablemates are now bitter rivals. Vincent taking out Matt Taven's friend, Mike Bennett, destroying his ankle. And so Taven is out for revenge, not only for himself, but also for his friend, Mike Bennett here. So this is why this match is happening, as these two have a bitter feud since Vincent turned on Taven. Had to be over 2 years ago now, thanks to the pandemic, but that's why this match is happening here. Tag team match for the ROH World Tag Team Championship. La Bestia del Ring is substituting for recognized champion LFI teammate and son Dragon Lee, who is injured because he had a ruptured eardrum, required surgery, and because of the ruptured eardrum and the surgery, he cannot get on an airplane right now. So unfortunately, he cannot be there to defend the titles. So his father will be taking his place in this match, teaming with Kenny King, defending the titles against the Foundation, Red Titus, and Tracy Williams. In his other match that he was supposed to defend the TV title, because Dragon Lee is also the TV champion, He's a double champ. Kenny King will be taking his place, wrestling in place of him and defending the title against Tracy Williams. Obviously, if King wins, Lee will retain the title. So he's fighting on his behalf. So unfortunate circumstances here where Dragon Lee cannot be there, which is really, which really sucks because I was looking forward to seeing Dragon Lee versus Tracy Williams. But now that's not happening. We're getting Kenny King versus Tracy Williams. Then we got a grudge match here, EC3 versus Jay Briscoe. We've got, and finally we've got the singles match for the Ring of Honor World Championship. Roosh, also pronounced Rush, but he calls himself Roosh. That's how we're saying it. Defends the title.
I don't say that name.
Defends the title against Jay Lethal. That is your main event, presumably. Of course, Roosh, Dragon Lee, Bestia del Ring, and Kenny King are all part of a group called La Faction Ingobernable, and they are managed by Amy Rose. Obviously, this group is spun off of the popular Los Ingobernables group in CMLL Mexico, which had a former member of it recently be released by the WWE. I can't believe we completely glossed over this on the show, as Andrade, a.k.a. La Sombra, is now a free agent in the world of wrestling, as he has granted his release from WWE, unconditional release, as he doesn't have any kind of 90-day non-compete. He can show up anywhere. In fact, he could show up at the ROH show tomorrow night.
Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Well, we're still 2 minutes overtime, so the Macho Man, the Macho Ghost wins that bet. Don't miss SCW at Chabanz, Illinois this Saturday night. John Hudson versus James Creed 3. Mac Holliday will be there. Natasha Crane, The Sheik, you name them, we got them. It's going to be a great show Saturday night in Chabanz. Get your tickets now before it's too late. Martez, let's close this book. Let's close the door. Many people to thank tonight. Thanks to Mike Silver of Silver Load. We were having fun with him. Thanks to C-Red for pulling some of the guest hosting duties in the absence of the Ghost. Thanks to Gina for calling in, and thanks to Kayvon for calling in. We know it was short. We're sorry it was short, but we were bound and determined to get out of here on time tonight. I want to thank Martez Ale for doing great work, as always. Marty Drip Drip, your satisfaction knows no bounds. I want to thank the professors and Twins for keeping the show brisk and fast-paced tonight. And we also want to send one final thought to our friend, the Macho Ghost, and Charlie. Best wishes to you. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week. The Gorilla Physician, we're out.